And welcome to In-Game Chat for Thursday, October 28th, 2010. It is the Love Bucket episode.
Love Bucket.
Love Bucket. I am Scott.
I'm James.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Matt.
I'm RJ.
I'm Dennis.
Hey, we're all together.
I don't remember how to do this.
Nobody really does.
Yeah, it's been a while. Sorry. In this episode, we talk about how long it's been since we've done an episode. Also, Halo Reach, we finish that discussion. Because we finished that game in the amount of time you would think we would. Enslaved, Medal of Honor. Force Unleashed 2, get a little bit of mention there. Also, the end of Alan Wake, or at least Alan Wake as a whole. Dennis was the only one
to
finish
that.
Don't lie
to them, because there's a bunch of people that have been kind of waiting on us to all finish it. So we talk about it, so don't misrepresent things there. That's not actually what happened.
Yeah. Sonic the Hedgehog 4, Borderlands, Fallout New Vegas, gets a lot of time on that one. We hit the tweets. We hit a few emails. We just got to two of your emails. We're going to get to more of your emails in the next episode. I know you're thinking, yeah, right. And we got voicemails in here as well. Super Meat Boy, World of Warcraft, Tribes. Also, what else did we have in here? A little bit of Kevin's Corner as well is in this episode also.
It's worth mentioning that we are now back in our old radio studio.
Yes. So the audio may sound different than it has in ever how long since it's been since we've been in here. So
you hear a few sirens.
Yes, but we really apologize for being gone away for so long. And again, I do this at the end of the episode, but do it here again. Can't thank you guys enough for sticking around with us and still enjoying the show and writing to us to tell us to get back in there. We've been trying, and you'll hear about all the little things that happened when we were trying to do this. But we're back. We're going to give you another episode next week, hopefully, make an attempt at that, and you'll find out the rest in this episode. So, enjoy.
So, anyway, yeah. I can see it. I can see it just beneath the surface of you.
What?
You know what?
Oh, what?
It's right there. It's right there, man. Yes, it is. Jeremy knows what I'm talking about.
No, I know
what you want. I know what you want to talk about.
I know you do.
Because despite my better judgment, I have to admit that you probably have the most relevant amount of information for this particular discussion. You were the one person with the information we need to talk about certain games that are being played and their relationship to previous games. And you know that.
That's irrelevant for
once. Yeah, right? The problem is, can you keep it together long enough to, like, actually, bridge the gap between the two eras?
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, yeah. Some doubt. Quite a bit of it, actually. So, where were we?
Well, not
Halo
emails.
Sucked?
Halo sucked.
Halo sucked.
I didn't say you couldn't read fucking emails. I said don't read all the emails. There are too many. And that's our fault. I understand. But we just can't read them all. We'll have to do another show next week and get, like, truly caught up on everything.
It's been about a month, hasn't it?
I think it's been...
Last time we were born, September 16th, if I'm not mistaken.
More than a month then?
So it's been
5 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. Did you know that by accident, or did you look that
when
up
was,
when you were...
He's got his notes.
When I was opening the pad for last week, before we couldn't find the box,
yeah.
I was looking at the after image of my writing.
I oh, I see.
September 16th. I'm like, that long.
It's a long time. It's a really long time. I don't even know why that happened. It wasn't planned, was it? That was just like, some shit came up. We got to push it off till Tuesday.
And
then,
some
more shit came up.
Yeah, really.
And we tried to record last week, but we couldn't find our hardware. It had been misplaced.
Returned to sender.
Yeah, it had.
Because we started doing that
you think you're funny?
Format.
What's that?
Did we start doing that every other week format?
Yeah, we did for a minute.
Yeah.
Like, the idea was to stop doing that when Halo came out.
Yeah, we were going to, like, go to doing every week, and we actually went to doing no weeks for some reason.
Well, I remember
the opposite.
Okay, we're supposed to record the week Halo came out, but the day we were going to record, you hadn't got your game, so we really hadn't played any of it. Mm-hmm. So we're just like, yeah, let's put it off until next week. And we got in sometime then, and I don't know what happened after. I don't know what happened the week after. I know at some point I had the flooding in the house.
That's right.
That was one of the things that kept us from recording 1 week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, you had to work. Because I remember we
scheduled
it.
I had to. Yeah, they scheduled a pan. They scheduled a pan archive thing. And so
we just kept getting.
Our equipment being missing was another week.
Yeah.
That's 3 weeks accounted for right there. I don't know what.
Happened to the other two or something. Yeah.
Well, we skipped a whole week just because that was the schedule we were on.
Right.
So there's four. The fifth was the fact that none of us had Halo at the time.
I think you're still missing three.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're missing at least one.
We missed some time.
But whatever.
Matt, it was Matt, right? It's Matt's fault?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll go.
Never my fault.
So, you know, we talk about, like, what we can remember of the second half of Halo now.
It was more fun than the first half.
It was a lot better than the
I didn't
first
even
half.
Make it there.
Did you not?
I stopped in the first half.
You had some weird audio problems.
Yeah, I couldn't hear my guys. Like, every time I talked, it was like,
I didn't say anything interesting.
I mean, I didn't know, like, even where to go, because, you know, no new objective will pop up saying, you know, get behind this damn door so the Covenant don't blow your ass out under the ground.
Hmm.
I mean, it was, you know, I couldn't hear what they were saying. It sounded like everything was filtered through, like, an old McDonald's speaker coming over my radio.
That's because you've got an old McDonald's speaker on your TV.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, I just stopped having fun with it. I was like, screw
I don't really understand that.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you there.
But all games should have, like, a separate slider for voice and music and sound effects
and all that.
Because then
there was no
it doesn't matter
control.
What kind of sound system you have. You can adjust that so you can hear shit.
Yeah,
that you need to hear.
No volume control, subtitles only in the cutscenes.
I thought it was, well, I mean, we've said this before, I thought it was a bit of a mess in the first half. I just didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Was it in the second half that we all, that we had our collective cheer? And like, this.
When she.
Yeah, it's like, all right. Qualitatively, I thought the second half of the game just, it popped a little bit better. I thought the environments got a little bit more interesting. I felt like we were really closing in on something approaching kind of a meaningful direction. I sort of understood what the point of my involvement was. You know, we're particularly down to the point of, like, you're actually carrying, you know, well, before the point when you're actually carrying Cortana.
Well, yeah.
Well, you'll know. But, I mean, like, when you start really getting involved in the specific, not just the items, but the very specific chain of events that are still happening in Halo 1. And it just felt a little bit better. The first half was just like, what is this, a wind farm? What am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, why can't I shoot straight? Like, I don't know. Like, fuck, it sucks. Like, why am I in this place again? Like, literally, we had to ask ourselves, is this a new place, or am I just back in an old place again? And we kind of couldn't tell because of how the environments were rendered and the stupid prefab stuff, which there's always a good excuse for that stuff in sort of colonial sci-fi settings. But it was a mess. And then the second half actually started to feel pretty boss.
Yeah, I read up on, like, the levels I missed out on after I mailed it off, and I was like, I really wish I made it that far, because I think I would have enjoyed it a lot more at that point.
And what's fun is that at this, well, you know, we got to play around with the jetpacks and stuff, and, like, what I will say is that we got a couple of, like, wide open levels.
The
fucking flying mission was, like, super ace. Like, that was really, really.
Yeah. And I'm talking about the space. I'm talking about the space.
I didn't like the space that much. And we talked about this. Jeremy liked it.
I had more fun doing what we were doing.
See, if the space had felt more like the Falcons, is that what they are?
Pelicans or Falcons?
Well, the Pelicans, the big thing.
Okay.
Talking about the little bastards that we got to fly.
Yeah.
The problem with space is that you got from one end of the skybox to the other too quickly.
Yeah.
It's just cramped. Whereas the stuff on the Falcons, because of the relative speed of everything, like, felt, it was just a lot more fun. I really, really had a lot of fun with it. And we were, like, goofing around being assholes during that mission, but it was fun. Wasn't there another mission that was fairly wide open like that? tanks or something. I don't know. I remember blowing shit out of some stuff in the tank.
Yeah, there was that one where, because he got stuck on the bridge, or we got stuck on the bridge. Our vehicle got stuck way the fuck up on that bridge.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that.
That
one.
Was a very wide open space. I just can't remember what really was going on at the time.
I mean,
we all
was,
had vehicles. We all had different vehicles. Yeah. The tanks were one of them, so.
And then, you know, kind of basically carrying things all the way to the end of the, essentially the end of the narrative, you know. I mean, it was fine. It was kind of, there was a real notion there that you were supposed to feel some sense of loss as the individual team members fell in battle. And, like, in unison, when, I don't know, like, the robot Hispanic girl or whatever who was, like, fucking, like, I don't know. Whatever, like that whole cliche thing, which I just hate, I despised it. Like, we all cheered when she fucking got killed. Like, she got a headshot, man, and like slumped over, and the music is all sort of dramatic and sad. We're just laughing at our asses off. You know, we all said thank you to the Covenant ship as it flew
away. We owe you one.
Like, we really weren't in line with what they were trying to sell at all. Mm. But the game was a hell of a lot more fun. I mean, we took turns at the last mission, like everybody getting in the big railgun.
Did we?
Yeah. Because we died doing that like two or three times.
Okay. I couldn't remember because I thought we got through it and then it was over with and we were like, that's it? And then we just stopped playing because we were like, all right, fuck it.
No, because we died on that a bunch.
Did you ever go back?
Yeah, I did. Okay. Once you told me that you said turn off scoring.
Yeah. The only way you can get... I wouldn't say the real ending. The only way you can get a complete everything that's there type of ending is to turn off scoring. So we
didn't
figure it out.
And then really all you get is the beginning of Halo.
The beginning of Halo, yeah.
Which is... And not even like the real beginning. Just the ship flying past the camera.
Yeah.
Pillar Bottom. Which was fine. I mean, it was... Whatever. Still a vastly inferior experience to ODST, in my opinion. I don't mind being in the minority on that, but I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess I get the notion of it being a great send-off for the series, but yeah, whatever. It's just a game. It wasn't... It had some stuff that was fun. I just didn't do enough of that stuff. ODST was a much better experience overall for me. I loved it. It was...
ODST was great.
It was really good. And, like, it doesn't surprise me that, like, we're all of the same mind. I just know that collectively versus the internet,
stuff like that,
we have a tendency to be, like, the what the fuck is wrong with you guys kind of thing. But whatever. I really, really liked ODST. And this was just, it's just whatever.
I tried playing Reach a little bit on Legendary by myself. And I got, like, to the second level and just said, you know, fuck it. When you have to, you know, use an entire gun's ammo, not just, you know, after
it's just not even
to take down a elite. I was like, this
wasn't. We even had trouble playing as a group. I mean, we played through Halo 3 on.
Yeah, we did that.
Legendary as a group, and it was like it wasn't anything. It was like whatever. It was fine. It wasn't even remotely difficult. But this, we could barely even do heroic sometimes, and without just getting fucking destroyed. So, I mean, whatever. It's not our thing, you know. Halo's not our bag as a group of people. So.
Well, I will say that for me personally, if the entire game had been as much fun as I had with the last half of it, I'd probably put it a notch above ODST in my book. But for me, ODST was a much more consistent experience.
Well, not just the experience, but for something... both games made an attempt to build character around a bunch of separate people.
And in that,
and like,
ODST did a much better job.
It wasn't even like a better job. It like did the job. And Reach just sort of, I don't know.
Just in terms of the cooperative gameplay, though, I think the last half of Reach hit it a little bit better for me than ODST did it on a whole. But, a little bit. Like I said, just a notch above.
Had it not failed through the entire first half of the game.
Right. So ODST still wins.
I mean, our thoughts are, I guess, a little stale on it at this point because it's been a minute. So, I don't know. And I'm pretty sure there wasn't really... Oh, no, there was. There was Do we even ask this? Who played Enslaved?
I played Enslaved.
I played Enslaved. You played Enslaved.
I beat it, yeah.
Matt. Dude, it was like 3 minutes long. Of course you beat it. We all beat it.
I've only played it. I haven't beaten it.
I haven't played it at all. Got in my queue, but
you're free to spoil anything you want.
I'm going to.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Oh, wait. There's not really anything to spoil.
I was going to say, if there is anything. Cause,
Andy Serkis talking to Andy Serkis. Ta-da! That's the big fucking surprise. Like, literally. That's
what a
it.
Twist.
Well, I mean, it doesn't... Journey to the West, right?
Yeah. The yeah, I mean, sure. Yeah.
More it's or just,
less. There's no... It's fine. Like, Jeremy liked it a lot better than I did. I liked it okay. I just thought, like... it was a little funky. A little bit weird. I think I would have liked this much better had it not been a multi-platform game and had simply been a much more focused and polished experience on the PS3. A lot of the animations were clunky and weird. A lot of things weren't very polished, in my opinion. Sometimes I really feel like I would have killed for a jump button instead of a contextual jump button.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like... With animations and hit detection that's slightly clunky and weird, maybe not. Maybe what they gave us was fine. I mean, I enjoyed it. I beat it in, like, 2 sittings. I didn't get really any, like, frustrating things other than the fact that there was kind of a way at the end. All of my frustrations with the game came down to the way things worked near the end. Like, shades of how pissed I was when I was playing Force Unleashed. Only not even remotely angry, just like frustrated that there is a way to beat things and that way will work. And if you don't want to do it that way and instead want to follow one of the other half dozen ways they've told you you can do it, you're still fucked because of the way the encounters work at the end of the game. Shielded enemies, I had a lot of problem with like, I really preferred to use a lot of dodge attacks and evade attacks just because there was a whole series of types of attacks you could perform out of an evasion move. But, like, it just, in groups of enemies, just didn't work. Like, just flat out did not work because you would evade one enemy and he would either auto-target and follow you no matter what you did, even if it was a quick evasion, or you could hit by one of the others. The only thing you could really do was, like, the charge stun attack or some crap like that. And it was like, eh. But I want to do it this other way. And you've spent the whole game, like, allowing me to build my character in that direction. So it was like, eh, whatever. But that was, like, the last battle, basically, where it was just... I just didn't like the way it was put together. And then the last... Jesus, man, it was like the last couple of minutes of the game is where all of the exposition in the game was. Leading up to that point, they were extraordinarily vague about stuff. I mean, the gameplay was solid and fun, but the whys and wherefores just weren't there. And they just kind of tried to throw it all at you at the end. And I was like, you could have... There's a lot of times when, like, this dude and this chick are just sort of hanging around, like, not doing a whole lot. They could have maybe talked about this more explicitly.
Kind of like
exactly
Prince
like
and Elka.
Yeah, exactly like them. And there are many times in that game where I would, like, all through that game, I sometimes felt like I was playing something else. There were moments where I'm like, I'm totally playing Prince of Persia right now, or like I'm very much playing Infamous right now because the way that the scaling and the scaling the walls and like moving through the environment and shit would work. Sometimes I really felt like I was playing Uncharted. For reasons beyond just the color palette. Like, it was... And that's fine. It borrowed pretty heavily, in my opinion, but whatever. I just can't remember... I don't know. It was a great, you know, 7-8 hours, I guess.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, but then, like...
Yeah. I also beat it in 2 settings. But, yeah, I had a fantastic time with it. It kind of goes... in my mind, in the same category as Mirror's Edge, with stuff that you should absolutely play but not buy.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's a little inspired, a little funky.
A little short.
Yeah, way too short.
A lot short.
But plenty enough fun that you know, you should absolutely play it.
I I think it's a good category to put it in. I find there to be a lot less reason to replay it even than Mirror's Edge.
Like, yeah, that's true.
And I mean, I don't even think there's very much in Mirror's Edge. But this game, like, even if you loved it, I can't imagine putting it in again. Because there's nothing you can't do in one playthrough without even, like, trying too hard. Yeah. You can do everything, so... I don't think you can get every achievement, but that's just because you have a limited resource pool for upgrading all of your talents and everything. So you would have to play through it again to like upgrade all of a certain thing, and that's like it's artificial as hell, and nobody cares. Who gives a shit? It's a fun game. It was acted very well. It was fun. I really enjoyed it. I just didn't come away like. I don't know. It didn't leave a lasting impact on me at all. Matt, what did you think of Enslaved?
I think I'm like in between you two.
Of course.
You know.
You have dreams about that.
Anyways. No.
Classiest podcast out there.
Do what?
We're the classiest podcast out there.
Oh, here we are. I'm sure in some circles.
I had a good time. I could see what you mean about the lack of replayability. Some of the combat to me seemed a little tedious. And the fact that, you know, you just have one button that you just kind of, you know, try and do the same attacks over with. I wish you had more use of the cloud, your little hoverboard.
Yeah, it was just a little bit too, I understand it being like somewhat context dependent, but they gave just the weakest excuse for being able to use it. It's like, it's sort of like electrically around here, whatever, I don't know, it works.
Yeah.
I liked the guy's response to that. He's like, yeah, like I said. Works in some places, not in others.
I like the response, but it's a terrible cover for the fact that, like,
it's not everywhere.
How about this thing just maybe works in more places? Because when it worked, it was actually really fun. I enjoyed it a lot.
And some of the boss fights were kind of fun once you get the hang of them. But, you know, like, when you go in against the dog, you know, once you know the secret, it's super easy.
Yeah.
Stun, hit.
And the boss fights were nothing. It was some of the later like clusters of shielded enemies and stuff that was the real problem.
Yeah, when you had to defend the four cores at the end.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, this is. Blah. I didn't really like that. That was kind of aggravating. Yeah. Some of the external environments, though, the entire first stretch in New York was really pretty. The bit though at. Wherever the hell it was, where Old Girl came from, like,
oh, yeah,
that was like, that was so strongly Prince of Persia / Ico that they would have had to have done something phenomenal to fuck up my enjoyment of that area. It was just so, it was so nice. The vistas were so pretty.
Yeah.
The whole windmill segment, like, it was really fun. I appreciated it. They are doing a DLC. Of some sort, I think I read today.
Yeah, and it's going to be in 3D.
And it is going to be in 3D, yeah.
And more Pigsy.
Yeah, I don't really care about that. I thought he was a bit of a waste. Showed up too late in the game, too.
Yeah, he really did.
I thought he would be of more consequence early on, but whatever.
I liked how they handled him, because I had him pegged to be a certain kind of character that he didn't turn out to be, so...
Yeah,
that was pleasant. To not just have him be the stereotypical, you know,
turncoat.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was all right. Instead, he just, you know.
He was just an asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is fine. Like, I kind of like guys who are just assholes. That's why you and I are such good friends.
I suppose.
So.
Whenever you
I'm
got
not
the
just
masks.
An asshole. Though.
Whenever you picked up the mask and gave you the,
I was a little like,
of,
I got kind of weirded out sometimes, man.
I wish it was more information instead of just random.
Yeah, and it takes you a while to sort of piece together
It kind of reminded me that even means of, anything. Assassin's Creed 2, when you got the pieces of
just the piece of the Eden,
yeah, Eden, whatever, and it gave you that little. But you could actually pick that together and see the whole.
That was woven much better into the overall story, even for as little sense as it made the first few times you got it.
Yeah,
this was a little creepifying because it was all, you know, real world imagery and stuff. It was a little weird.
You know, random picture of him, you know, next to the Great Pyramids or.
Yeah, I don't know. It was all right. It was all right game. It was good.
I'm glad I played it, no doubt, and had a good time with it. You know, it was a pretty good platforming at times. I really wish, like you said, it had a jump button.
Sometimes I wished for a jump button. This was not like a universal, all the time wanting a jump button. But, yeah. It was a good game. Whatever. I highly recommend it for a rent. Thought it was good. It was a nice little thing to have at that point in time when not really anything else was out.
I tried to, like, we were talking a little bit last week, off air, off camera, whatever, off mic.
We are still, believe it or not, off camera.
Yeah. We should fix that.
Just wanted to point that out. No, we really shouldn't.
We did that once. We changed our minds about that.
But,
The hell were you talking? What were we talking about last week?
Medal of Honor.
No, it's still
that game fucking sucks.
See how that works?
It's still about to sleep, but now let's go on to Medal of Honor.
Did nobody else rent that piece of shit?
I've got it at the house. They haven't played it yet.
Not getting it after last week.
Oh, come on!
No, I actually
wanted
to play it.
What I had to say was yourself.
After last week, I really wanted to play it.
Did you really? I really wish you would.
Yeah.
God, what a fucking turd that game is. Like, let me be clear. What almost anybody else out there in the world would decry as yet another bullshit generic military shooter, blah, 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 I can still, like, stomach and, to some degree, enjoy. If the shooty bangs are solid, right? If the level design is even remotely competent, if it just kind of clicks and I feel good kind of running around, like, killing some guys, man, what? Sometimes you need generic, meaningless running around killing some guys. I ain't gonna buy the motherfucker. Like, no way in hell. I almost did that, and then, like, I did it so I could get into the beta, and, like, hours later, I was like, oh, man.
The beta was really bad. You turned it on Steam.
Like, I was like, no, fuck this. Like, this is crap. I really, really hate it. And the single player was just as bad. It was one of the most... And again, I'm trying to tell you, like, my tolerance for what other people can't stand about generic shooters is really high. To the point where I actually get some enjoyment out of them. This thing was just... Why did I finish it? Why did I do that?
You finished it?
Yeah. Jesus. Last week, I was literally 90 seconds from the end of the game.
Oh, man.
But it was impossible to tell because of how fucking horribly made this game is. They were clearly trying to ape the A story, B story, C story stuff of Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. And, like, just bungled it so badly that, like, with the exception of one stretch of time, I never knew who the fuck I was. Like, will you at least let me look down and see how long my fucking beard is so I can figure out whether or not I'm, like, a SEAL or a Ranger right now?
How long my beard is.
Well, I mean, you know, I've looked down at my boob to see how healthy I am before. I've done that.
Maybe you need two other people to help you with that.
What game was this?
That was,
Jurassic Park Trespass.
Yeah. We've told you about this story.
I don't think so.
No, it was physics-based, like, Jurassic Park crazy-ass game from a long time ago where you play this female character voiced by Minnie Driver, and it was this broken-ass fucking first-person shooter, but it used this supposedly very aggressive physics engine. But it was just broken. And we found that to effectively move your character, aim, and shoot three people at one keyboard was optimal. So was it you and me and Kevin?
Yeah.
Because, like, we couldn't quite get the bitch to do everything that we wanted her to do and, like, shoot the fucking dinosaur. Because it just nothing seemed, like, because you had to, like, bring up your arm, and, like, your arm was, like, a physics object.
Oh, God.
Like, you didn't just point, you know, your crosshairs right. over something. You had to, like, your body moved on its own, and then your arm kind of moved on its own. And then, like, apparently we only had one arm. That was really weird. And it was just, it was weird. And we just tried to figure out how to play it right, and the best we ever did was have three people. It was pretty...
yeah. Her her health bar was a tattoo.
Yeah, you had to look down at your tits, and she had this, like, this heart tattoo, and it would, like, drain of color. It was awesome. It was so brilliant. You should go out there and, like, look up some old kind of, like, necro shit on the internet, like, that hasn't been seen in a while. People talking about Trespasser. That was pretty fun. The hell does that have to do with anything?
I don't know, but I'm looking it up anyway.
You were saying how long the beard was. And then
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. Like, I'm in Afghanistan, and it's like, well, okay, like, you know, Afghanistan and everything. Well, apparently, everybody in Afghanistan, every one of them, is a suicide bomber. So maybe early on in the game, I'm fighting, like, a bunch of these fucking cavemen, right? Whatever. But they make a point of talking later on as the game progresses about how you're fighting much more advanced dudes. How, like, you're starting to see evidence of, like, these aren't just, like, Taliban whack jobs. These guys are, like, Chechens or whatever. Like, brought in really, really well geared, heavily armed, very well supplied, very well trained. But no, they're not. They just run over the hill like a bunch of fucking lemmings, just like all the other assholes. This thing puts the infinite enemy spawning machine seen in Call of Duty games to absolute shame. It is the only thing it does better than Call of Duty is spawn more infinite enemies. Which, as a sentence, doesn't even make sense. But I assure you it's true. Like, it's fucking piece of shit. There's apparently one long, winding-ass fucking goat path in Afghanistan. Every place in Afghanistan is merely a wide spot on this fucking goat path. And that's where my guys go all the time. I cannot deviate at all. It was a fucking horribly buggy piece of shit. Like, at cinematic transition points all over the place, like, the game just wouldn't... It wouldn't, like, lock up. It just wouldn't proceed because some cue or some script wouldn't run. So, like, I couldn't get off my bike. Or, like, I couldn't, you know, go from point A to point B and, like, shoot a bunch of motherfuckers that I was supposed to be able to do because, like... You know, the big beard on the four-wheeler in front of me wouldn't get off and say what he had to say. It was just, you know, and he just reload from previous save or something. It was fine, but it was just terrible. It was just terrible.
You didn't have to do that.
And, like, I just didn't even know what was going on. And, like, am I this rabbit motherfucker now? Or am I like, this other guy right now? Or, what? Like, whatever. And I would just go to a place and, like, every fucking Taliban from forever could, like, shoot me in the left eyeball. From, like, through a rock. A rock.
Not your rock?
Yeah. That's a week old joke, but whatever. It was just awful. It was almost unplayable. It was horrible. I do not know why I finished that game. I just felt like I couldn't let it get the better of me. Are you watching the Trespasser video?
Oh, my God.
She looked at her boob yet?
She didn't look at her boob yet. She didn't have to, but this is ridiculous. Oh, wait. There's
is
the
that a, is that a tit?
Oh, she's looking. She was looking down.
Oh, yeah, see that? See, it's like I don't
like
know.
Even two-handed weapon. She just holds with one arm.
That's why we called it the retarded monkey game.
It is. It's like her arm has like she's like elastic because it'll stretch across and.
This guy's clearly not playing with two extra people.
Please.
And this makes for great audio.
Nah. Whoa! Yep. That was a brilliant piece of work.
Oh, Jesus.
Trying to push buttons.
Trying to push buttons.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So anyway, I don't know. I think you should at least take a look at the damn thing while you've got it in your possession.
Yeah, no, I'm going to.
I mean, I'm not even saying, like, it was technically unplayable. I just thought it was just absolutely one of the worst things in the world. The only sequence that was even remotely interesting was the one where you were playing Gunner in the Apache. And that was just kind of like sort of what you'd expect. So, I don't know. That was pretty wretched. I totally forgot about that game. Thanks for bringing that up, Scott.
Well, I didn't. He couldn't figure out what he was going to talk about. So I thought, I know exactly how to get back on track. Medal of Honor. Boom. That's all it took. Do you remember what you wanted to say?
No.
Not at all, huh?
Not at all.
All right. Force Unleashed coming out?
Yes.
Who gives a shit?
I figured you did. Played it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it.
Of course you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
You have to enjoy it. Something's wrong in your brain that when a LucasArts logo pops up, you already love it.
It's like, you know,
you haven't even played the game.
It releases the, was it serotonin or something?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know what makes you the way
I
you
are.
I
just saw what you like about it here. Guybrush Threepwood in Force
Unleashed.
Yeah, I
found that. Yeah, you could get a skin and you run around as Guybrush Threepwood.
Mm-hmm.
Did that for a level, then I turned it off. But, There are still, like, I know you'll be frustrated with it because...
No, I won't,
because
I won't play it.
If you were to play it, they'd still have, like, some enemies that will block all your force powers, so you have to use your lightsaber. Some enemies that block all your lightsaber, so you have to use
force
power.
This is not...
Unleashing the force?
This isn't doing anything. Like, this is not how you make a game about a dude who uses lightsabers and the force, by making things that can't be killed with lightsabers and the force. And the fact that they're still following that notion that a significant portion of the gameplay has to be punitive, like, they are wrong. All gameplay is not a puzzle. All gameplay is not parry and riposte with your powers against their defense. Some games are like that, yes, but not all games are like that. And they are very, very wrong about the idea that they could not make a fun game where, you know... Starkiller just went around fucking killing stars or whatever. Like, they're wrong. It would be fucking hilariously fun.
Some of the best times is when you're up against a, like, a group of stormtroopers and you just, you know, mow through them. Some you're throwing them with the force, some you're just lightning, some it's all the different things you could do. So
I guess more specifically what I really mean to say is that if just simply making an enemy immune to one of your two types of abilities is how you create challenge, then you haven't done a very good job. There are other ways to create challenge, and they're harder than just like, oh, they're using this lightsaber a lot. Let's just make this thing anti-lightsaber, whatever the fuck that is, and move along, you know, punt the problem downfield a little bit. It's dumb. So I'm glad not to be even remotely interested in playing it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Not like there aren't infinitely better things
yeah.
to be had right now.
I do like how they changed the whole menu system for upgrading your lightsaber or your...
So it's, like, useful?
Yeah.
At least.
It doesn't take 4 hours for it to load. It's instantaneous.
I shouldn't, like, regret the idea that I'm about to go into my game's menu.
Yeah.
Which I really did in that game. I had to, like, think, do I really want to go in here and do this? No, I don't. I'll just play some more.
Yeah, they changed, you don't get holocrons quite the same way that you did in their first one. There are still holocrons on there, that, you know, for the lightsaber, for skins, and just for generic experience points. And you gain other experience points by, you know, killing people and destroying the environment. So once you have enough experience points, you just go in and just, like, upgrade your force power. So they did simplify it some, which I think it was a good job. It looks better than the first one. So I'm enjoying it. I'll play through it. But,
yeah, I don't know. No, it's not going to get any time for me at all. What have you been playing? I think we've asked you like three, are you playing this, are you playing this, are you playing this? And it was all no. What have you been playing?
I played Reach. And the only other things I've been playing is Dragon Quest IX and... Blaze Professor Layton game.
Oh, okay.
I was about to say, I know what he's been doing. He's just been reading up on all that Professor Layton fucking goddamn Phoenix Wright crossover shit. Probably.
Yeah, I've heard about
it's probably
that.
All you've been looking at. Is that still just Japan only?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything
about
it yet.
You're supposed to know this shit. You, of all of us.
Man, I've been like working goddamn 60 hours a week.
All right, you're either allowed to bitch about not having a job or about working 60 hours a week.
Hey, you are not allowed to.
I don't know. I think you should consult us before you do that. Well, that's fine, I suppose. I don't know. None of us are going to fucking know about that shit. Like, even if you asked me to, I wouldn't know about that.
Play the latest Alan Wake DLC.
Oh, the final chapter, yeah.
It's great. If you like what's going on in Alan Wake, if Alan Wake is like a season of a TV series, then The Signal and The Writer is basically kind of like the Christmas special. Like a two-parter in between seasons.
Gotcha.
And it's just really damn good. I love it.
Was the rest of Alan Wake really damn good?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm not interested. I still can't summon up the power to finish that thing. Just because, like, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to load the game up. What's my goal? I don't even know where I am anymore. But I know what my goal was going to be. It's going to be to get through the woods. That's going to be my objective. Because that was the objective of the whole thing. And, like, the more I think about it, I could probably get over myself a little bit if I just sat down in front of it and played it, but the whole of my mind is always focused on the idea that this is supposed to be about a guy. I mean, the premise of the game is very fantastical. Mm-hmm. And I mean, maybe the game blossoms into some kind of amazing experience at a point, you know, beyond what I've played, but where I am in the game, like, it's just, I'm just running through the woods, man. Like, I'm literally dodging shadows, like, level after level after level, and it's just like, this is the best you can do? Like, a game about a horror writer who's having to live his own horrors? And, like, I don't know, it reminds me of, like, these really really clunky productions of Midsummer Night's Dream or The Tempest that I've done. I mean, if you're in theater long enough, you know, you'll do all that stuff. And, like, every now and then you'll run into, like, this really just sort of boxy, kind of really unimaginative version of one of those plays. And those are, like, just these, like, fucking, like, Shakespeare on acid type of things. Like, they're crazy. They're insane. There's nothing even remotely logical happening in them. But every now and then, you know, you'll work on a production that's just like, I remember one specifically that I was on. It was just like, this is dull. Like, this is just a very literal, kind of boring interpretation of how to present this show. And these are his most outlandish, fantastical things. The idea deserves to be elevated into some kind of, like, really fairly awe-inspiring presentation. Otherwise, the whole point kind of falls flat, that this whole thing is either a dream or a hallucination or, you know, maybe everybody's dead or maybe you're dead or, like, what the fuck out? Like, it's weird as fuck, you know? Maybe this is, like, a trip that we're all on. So, every time I played Alan Wake, it's kind of how I felt. I was like, this should be more, dude. This is too subtle for what it's telling me it is. It needs to be way the fuck more. Particularly for an organization that has such an enormous amount of input from its writer. Mm-hmm. Just thought that, like, this is like a bad Stephen King movie instead of a good Stephen King movie. But whatever. I am clearly, not just on the internet, but in this room, in a minority on that.
Yeah, I'll say, I think you'll start enjoying it more once, probably about episode 4 is when we'll start really getting to where you start enjoying it more. Because that's about the point where you stop having the run through the woods.
Whatever, dude. I Dana called me into the room while she was finishing the game, right? Because she kept having these weird problems, and she wanted to see if, like, can I tell her what she was doing wrong in some of these little fights. Turns out, like, in these areas where she was right there at the end of the game. Do you know what she was doing? She was running through the woods. Like, if you're trying to tell me that there ain't no running through the woods near the end of this game, that's not true, because I've seen it with my own eyes. The most outlandish, crazy thing that was happening was, like, a refrigerator tried to bite her or something. And I'm like, well, what the fuck, dude? That's not even that weird. You know? Like, it should have been more. it should have been a much more... I mean, I know that they tried to pull some psychological shit, and I know they did, but it's like, it's nothing that they had pulled, even, whatever. I would even admit that where I am, it was a relatively slow ramp up if I didn't know that the overall length of the game was so short that what I've played is already, like, more than a third of the game, you know? I'm not even saying the game is crap. I'm just saying, because I think it's a good game. I just think, like, you guys, this much time, basically speaking, you know, kind of out of my ass, but pretty much all the resources you could want, you know, an actual writer who lives and eats and breathes writing, not just some game dev who happens to write on the side, but like the amount of input Sam Lake had on this, and like, but this is what you come up with? Could have done more. And there's a lot of people out there who can't do more, and you guys should have done more because you can. So, to me, it's passable. And for what it was supposed to be, passable is not enough. But whatever. It's okay.
I can understand.
You and pretty much everybody else can go back to loving it. But somebody needs to call them on their shit for not having gone far enough. Because far enough is the target for people in their position. Or beyond far enough, I guess I should say. So, I don't know. I'm not trying to hate it. I'm just saying, like...
No.
I don't see it as being the great experience that other people have said. And if it becomes revelatory after the point where I am, well, why the fuck couldn't it have started that a little bit sooner? Whatever. Sorry. I'm shitting on it beyond where I need to be. I don't actually feel that. I don't have a problem with it. I've told you what I said. It should have been more. Not that I hate what it is. I want to be clear about that. But every time I think about sitting down and finishing, I'm just like,
eh. Man, how long was it in development for?
Oh, very long. 07?
An extra.
Yeah.
I remember I was in Iraq and I saw the first pictures of Alan Wake. That was in 07.
It was in development.
It was long before the first pictures.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
okay. It was in development, yeah. And we knew about it before we knew about the 360. It was supposed to be like a launch thing for the 360 originally.
That long, wow.
And it was, I mean, at that point, it was just, like, rumored stuff. But, yeah, it was, I remember hearing about it around about the first times of the 360. Because I remember watching the fucking video of it on your 360.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, yeah, this is that thing that was, like, already supposed to be here.
That was E3 of, I don't know what year that was.
It was, like, 05, 06?
06. Whatever year Gears of War came out, because it was months after that you finally picked up a 360.
Yeah.
So
it's been floating around there for a long time. It's been in development for a long time.
It was announced at E3 2005.
Okay. So yeah.
I remember footage of him running into a lighthouse with the shadows coming across, you know, like towards him. I remember thinking that was like really interesting.
I mean, some of that stuff was really okay. It's just, I don't know. Something about that game's not firing on all cylinders. And that's a shame. So.
But they had been developing at least a year before that.
So. Yeah. It's been in the way. That's not, you know, unforgivably long or anything like that. And I do think that they need to be, you know, a little bit of finger wagging at them and Microsoft and who the fuck ever's responsible for the fact that it didn't come out on PC. Because it was supposed to come out on the PC. For a very long time, it was going to be a PC and 360 property. I still haven't heard a very good reason for why it didn't, other than, you know.
That's so. Our score.
Whatever. Fuck it. We have this thing on our show where, for some reason, the really awesome thing we all want to talk about
has to wait till the end.
No, it's not just that it has to wait till the end. We treat it like we treat it like it's the worst thing you have to bring up. Right?
Well, there's
like somebody's going to get fired and like we just want to bring and like nobody wants to bring it up and nobody
because
wants to
talk. Once you bring it up, that's it. Like there is nothing else that you can talk
about. I understand that. I understand that, but we never say, "Okay, now that we've gotten everything out of the way, let's get to the thing we're excited about." We treat it as though like it's a hot potato or something. Like nobody actually wants to touch it and bring it up.
I was going to ask RJ what he's been playing.
Yeah, I know. But like, That's not exactly have anything to do with what we're talking about. You're just trying to be an asshole. And you're not even remotely skilled enough.
I'm too nice.
Didn't put enough. I don't think that's it. Maybe nice in italics.
Well, I tried to get hold of Vanquish on the PS3, but none of the blockbusters in town had it.
I tried to do that this weekend, and none of the one in Prattville didn't have it either.
Mm. I don't know, maybe they just one of those titles they just passed over for. In fact, they didn't even have Fallout 3 New Vegas in there.
They had that.
Were they just out?
Well, you know where he goes.
Yeah, but I mean, still. They weren't just out? They didn't have it at all?
I didn't even see the cover there.
With the
blockbusters in town.
What a bunch of fucking assholes. How do you not do something even that mainstream? I mean, I know it ain't like, you know, Gears of Vegas or whatever, but...
Maybe they decided to cut back or something, I don't know. Either way, it's more fuel to get in on Gamefly like all of you are. I don't know that much.
I don't even have Gamefly anymore, so...
Yeah, but you have a real blockbuster.
So. I do have a real blockbuster. For however long that fucking company's around.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. In Montgomery, though, man, like... Do Reynolds, you got to do Gamefly.
So really, I've been spending my time with Super Street Fighter 4, the new DLC for Borderlands, Claptrap Revolution, and Sonic the Hedgehog 4. Those three is what I've been playing with a lot lately.
How do you like Sonic 4?
Well, it's nice. It's a nice throwback to when Sonic was good.
Yeah?
It's, you know, focused on being fast and nothing else, but. You know, there were a few little nitpicky things I had here and there. Like, it didn't feel as fast as it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, there were parts where, you know, you had to, like, slow down a little bit because the scene was going by too fast, and you know you missed something. There was one part in there that really got me. Like I said, you try to focus on being fast. But there was a part in there where there's a puzzle, which instantly cuts down any momentum you have in this game at all. It's a little room where these columns are blocking your path, and you have to light these four torches in a certain order at a certain time to get them to open it the right way to get through it. And when you're stuck there with, like, after you've been exploring a while, and you got 8 minutes past, you know, you got 10 minutes to get through the stage or you lose a life, trying to spend that time trying to open that thing up, you know, over and over and over, dead, over and over again. I couldn't even explore the area like I wanted to. But, you know... all that aside, you know, I had a lot of fun with it. Wouldn't mind seeing what else they have in store for next time around episode 2.
All right.
How do you like Claptrap?
Well, it's a waste. The main reason I got the DLC was for the level cap raise, so it was real annoying that. The DLC came out, and then we find out the news that the patch is coming like early November.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a waste to play through it. I mean, I played through it anyway, but I wouldn't mind because I can get those levels up some other way, probably through Moxies or just exploring the desert, just killing drifters all day. But it's not a bad storyline. You know, it's better with the group than doing it solo.
That's a pretty cool thing to say, though. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go through the wasteland killing drifters. Game related, but you know, just don't get to say that very often.
Yeah, man. Get the experience any way you can in that game, yeah.
What did it go up to? Just 10? 10 more levels?
69. If you have the General Knox expansion with it, you'll go to level 69.
You have to have one of the other expansions in order to gain.
Knox kicked up the level to 61.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Knox put you up to 61, then Claptrap should give you the 8th
gotcha.
When it comes out to level 61.
I thought Claptrap did the entire level raise. It was the first level cap increase. But I guess it wasn't, so.
Nothing else.
It's those three. So what's the thing that you want to get to?
I don't even remember anymore.
Something about Fallout New Vegas.
Why aren't you playing that? Why are you such a bad person?
I don't know, because I played so very little Fallout 3.
It doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter. Not in that way where I tell you it doesn't matter just because I want you to fucking play something instead of getting hung up on the fact that you didn't play the previous thing. Literally does not matter. Like, it extra doesn't matter since this is what Fallout 3 should have been anyway.
Yeah.
Fallout 3. Don't give me that. Like, Fallout 3 is immaterial. Obviously you're going to hear us make a bunch of comparisons. It has nothing to do with it. This is not a sequel to Fallout 3.
Oh, I'm not talking, like, story-wise or anything. I'm just...
Well, you said you didn't play because you didn't play much Fallout 3.
And so that's...
What I'm saying is that other than, like, sharing a game engine and an overall gameplay style, like, these are... is vastly different games.
And the gameplay style did not hook into me with Fallout 3. I didn't give a shit about the story in Fallout 3.
No,
because
it wasn't a good story
because
in Fallout 3.
I wasn't enjoying playing it.
You would enjoy playing
I was enjoying
this.
Hearing about you guys playing it and hearing what you were doing.
This is...
And that's why Vegas was like, it's more of Fallout 3. That was my
But it's not. Like, it's really, really not. All the times we would have arguments about people referring to Fallout 3 as a shooter, and like how that shouldn't be done. Like, New Vegas actually can be played as a shooter, effectively, and like, I wouldn't argue that it's a super tight.
So is this
shooter,
the sense? Is this gonna? Let's look at a Mass Effect example where I played very little of Mass Effect, but then actually played a lot more Mass Effect 2. Are we looking at something like that where?
Not in the same ways, but yeah, I guess that would possibly be fair. I mean, you can chime in on that, obviously, but...
I mean, obviously, the Mass Effect 1 and 2, I mean, their stories are so integral to each other.
But I think we're talking about the differences in gameplay.
Gameplay style. Yeah.
The way that they made significant changes between one and the other. Yes. I mean, a lot of the underlying mechanics are still the same. Like, you know, you have to, like, level up all your shit. But how they work and why they work... And whether or not you say you cared, I promise you, the execution of the story in the universe of Fallout 3 was one of the reasons that you wouldn't have liked it, whether you recognize that or not, because it was... I mean, I liked Fallout 3. I enjoyed playing it. I spent, like, fucking 100 hours in it, you know? But it did ultimately just get pissed off and tired of the way it did everything. And I was really, really, really on the fence about even... devoting any time to New Vegas, because I was like, I don't know, man. Fallout 3 left a very bitter aftertaste, and I didn't want more of it. And it became pretty clear over the several days after the game came out that a comparison between the two. For anybody who says, it's just more Fallout. Like, if you liked Fallout 3, you'll like this. If you didn't like Fallout 3, you won't like this. I can't agree with that assessment at all. Yes, they use the same game engine. Excuse me, they use the same game engine. Okay. Like, yes, they have, like, skill points and, like, Vault Boy stuff, and it's still technically the same overall universe. But the sense of the thing as a cohesive product, is the kind of thing that's good and fun to play, is much more intense in this game than it was in Fallout. Mm-hmm. And the more I play of this game, the more I really feel like Fallout 3 was a tragic fucking mess.
Well, if I'm getting it, I'm definitely getting it on the PC.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm not getting it. Ben came over and played it the day it came out. He played it over at the house because Dave was in town and he wanted to see it, and so Ben played it on the 360. And, watching him play it and then listening to, remembering your transition from going from the 360 to the PC on Fallout 3 and the mods that help the looks and the, you know.
Just and for what it's worth, because it's basically the same game engine, they didn't delay the release of the GEC, which is basically the.
So people could just get on that shit.
Right on the ball, yeah. Man. Shit's already. There's already tons of that shit out there. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like this is what I'm talking about. Like, I know you have a much better understand, like a much better innate understanding of what this game means. But like this game, this should have been Fallout 3. Mm-hmm. If this fucking bullshit taking place. I mean, Jeremy, we didn't play Fallout 1 and 2. I played like an itty bit of 2, I think. I can't even remember. It's been so long.
I never played any of them.
But
just from what little bit I know of Fallout, of how the Fallout universe works, like it seems to me that all of these different factions you have mostly coalesced around these different groups that came out of the vaults and the experiences they went through.
Yeah.
So what didn't make a lot of sense for me in Fallout 3 was that here we are on the opposite coast of the country, and you've still got, like, you're still dealing with a lot of the same factions, you know. What the Brotherhood, I believe, just had some line about, yeah, we just, you know, came out here from out west. I'm like, well, but that's not a small trek, and for what purpose?
Well, the Brotherhood of Steel, they're all the way up in Chicago. I mean, they're basically all, they try to go all around the continental United States and going back, salvaging technology. And, I mean, they have been tracking all
of I think the point is not so much that they had any presence there, but the size of the presence there.
Yeah, like they were one of the major factions in that area. The super mutants, where they just came up with a different origin so they could have super mutants. Like, I think 3 in DC, I think the DC setting would have been more interesting had they done that for the fourth or whatever game.
New
Vegas had been 3.
And Fallout DC.
Because there was too much pressure. It was the first Fallout game in a million years. They had to have all these familiar elements for it to be a Fallout game.
Harold,
Isn't it? Yeah, but I mean, that's some like bullshit little gimme.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even woven into the over... I mean, the number of people I've even talked to who did that fucking storyline is really small. And, like, what effect it had on anything was negligible. Jesus Christ, the fact that that one storyline could have been the excuse for actually changing the overall architecture of the Wasteland after a certain point, and they didn't take it. The fucking modders had to do it. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, there are a lot of people out there that have said this before, and I just didn't have the point of reference. But now things are a little clearer, having played New Vegas, and I'm like, but that's to me, you didn't know what the fuck you were doing. Like, your game, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've talked to a few people who have said, well, you know, and maybe at best it's on par with Fallout 3, but, like, I'm like, dude, whatever. Like, this game knows what it's doing. It's faction management, like...
I like it moved just a little bit west from the setting of 1 and 2.
East.
And it, yeah, thank you. That was a stupid thing to say. But anyway, you just moved a little bit east, introduced, you know, all these other, you know, factions and stuff for you to contend with, and while pulling some of the stuff that's kind of close over there, over here with it.
In a natural kind of expansion.
Yeah. If they had done that first, only moved a little bit east from 1 and 2,
and
then they could have had all of that stuff naturally be in the game, all of that familiar material. And then you could have gone over to DC and done something completely off the wall. Because you should have very different... It should be a very different picture on the East Coast than it is on the West Coast.
Instead of trying to shoehorn in...
All those familiar
All of elements. The familiar faces.
Yeah.
That don't necessarily belong there in those concentrations.
You know, like we said, also the big problem with DC was the fact that it's, for the most part, very unrecognizable as DC.
Yeah, well...
The desert is the
DC storyline was crap. The entire point was, you have to do this, and you have to do this now. It's the most important thing in the entire universe, and do this now. And so if you do that, and don't basically realize that the game is lying to you, like what happened to Jeremy. Jeremy's like, okay, I'll take you at your word, which you should clearly never have done. Mm-hmm. But when you do that, you miss out on 90% of the game. Mm-hmm. The way that Bethesda wrote their shit is, the only way you're ever going to experience 90% of this game is just if you just pointlessly, aimlessly wander and hope you bump into something. And then if you do, it'll be a neat something. But we're going to crowd all of the story-critical stuff down here in the southeast corner of the map. And the rest of this pointless bullshit, good or bad, it doesn't matter. It's pointless to the overall. It's not even, in my opinion, was never woven very well into the architecture of the story. The two just sat completely apart. So you can either go find it for yourself or not. Doesn't really matter. And all of the things that I should be able to recognize as, you know, the Capital Wasteland, it's like, unless I'm looking at the mall, I get no sense whatsoever of where I actually am. I have read some complaints that, in comparison, the Nevada Wasteland, the Mojave Wasteland, is just, well, it's too empty compared to Fallout 3. And it's like,
have you been there?
A, yeah, that's how it is. Have you been there? B, yeah. I get such a powerful sense of wasteland, of harsh landscape from New Vegas. And I never really did. It was just three, it was just kind of a boulder-strewn landscape with no... It wasn't measured. It wasn't well-paced. It was just... I don't know. It was chock-a-block with, like, random crap. And nothing made any... Nothing... It didn't make a sense as a whole.
Yeah. It didn't take you long to find a decent structure in Fallout 3. I think, there's no long stretch of wide open space in there.
Yeah, and nothing real quick. Nothing necessarily made any sense. And so, I remember a lot of really great characters that kind of helped define things. Some people admonish the beginning of 3 for being a little too cloying and stupid. I thought it was novel, and I did like it. I think if you're trying to provide the sense that I've just grown up in a vault, at the very least, the vault I grew up in could have been maybe a touch bigger, you know, to actually make it...
It must be actually pretty huge.
Yeah, and I really would have appreciated that. And I do remember the point at which I left the vault and, old girl just sort of Dear Johned me out the door, and I was just like, I felt bad, you know. I did feel invested in my dude, and the vista you're exposed to after the first time you get out there was nice. It felt like a moment. And then Megaton was like a truly fascinating, well-crafted and interesting place.
Yeah.
But if we're going to be honest, that was as good as it got from that point on. Yes, okay, in its first 5 minutes of exterior gameplay, Fallout 3 had more interesting things to show you than Fallout New Vegas. However, that was the most interesting thing in the entire game. It's not like Megaton's great, and Megaton is like, so nothing in New Vegas is nearly as interesting as Megaton, so therefore Fallout 3 wins. It's like, well, fuck that. Megaton stayed the most interesting thing in that game, and that's kind of bad, is that it never got any better. I always kept hoping to find something as interesting as Megaton. It didn't exist. So, whatever. The progression... I wake up in... Whatever. In dude's bed. And, you shot in the head. Okay, some robot dug you up. And, but you're fine. Let's, look in the mirror and make sure I put your face on correctly. And, go do this thing, and here's your skills, and here's this bullshit, stupid Rorschach test.
It was a really limp dick.
Yeah, compared to what we'd seen before. I was like, well, the goat was a little more interesting, and the slow lead in,
the Rorschach test didn't make any sense.
No, I was just like, and I read somewhere online, somebody had precisely the same thought I did, that one of them looked like two bears high fiving. And I was like, because they show it to you, and they're like, what is this? And it's like, a cloud or a dog's face or something. And I was like, dude, there's nothing in here even remotely as interesting as two bears high-fiving. How is this a Rorschach test if I can't say that? And so I was just like, fuck whatever you gave me. I'm going to be what I'm going to be. And so at that point, I was like, this is kind of weak compared to what I'd done before. But from that point on, from the first little introductory segment on, and I will for like it was a couple hours, and I was just like, I'm just not. Something about this isn't working for me. But I realized being in a state of total confusion about what had happened to me and what is supposed to happen to me was a much better reaction to where I'm supposed to be with my character anyway. The nature of the story seems kind of sad and flat compared to the first one. The other thing we're comparing it to, Fallout 3, is very grand. We're going to save the world by cleaning its water. Well, okay. Fine. That's okay. That's a legitimate goal.
Whereas in New Vegas, it's, I just got shot in the head.
Revenge.
Fuck.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Solve the mystery, get some revenge. Like,
and if you even care to find out why you were shot in the head, you know?
Yep. But you realize that that's so much better for a game like this. That I don't feel the urge to necessarily go do it now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can...
Shit can wait.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the stuff happening locally that seems a lot more urgent than going and tracking down this.
I mean, revenge is great. Yeah. But, like, you know, I can be all like Inigo Montoya, right? Mm-hmm. I can get you now or when I'm 40. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's a good thing about revenge. I don't have to go do it now. Or else, you know.
I got some people trapped in this mine I need to go save.
Yeah, like it's a thing, and I felt much more comfortable with the state of affairs in the wasteland. It's like, well, we're some people who helped you out, and like, now we got a problem. Can you help us out with this? And like, yeah, sorry, we don't know too much about what happened to you, but them fellas down there might know what happened to you. And at that point, you realize that you're on a path, and something that Fallout 3 was incapable of doing was both putting you on a path toward revelation, towards completion of your main quest, while continuously delivering you all the side material. Because in Fallout 3, it was one or the other. You had to make a concerted effort.
Mm-hmm. Ignore the main story
or
finish the game and not do anything.
This is much better. The fact that they...
Like, yeah, there's basically, from where you start out, one general direction you can travel without having your ass handed to you.
Yeah.
And even then, you're still kind of like hiding and running.
Yeah.
So you head down, like, along this little U-shaped path.
A giant diversion from one highway to another. And the fact that the game is defined by paths of travel. Like, it's a simple thing, but Fallout 3 had none of that. It didn't have highways or trade arteries or anything like that. So... The flow of both information and civilization, such as it is, didn't exist. It was just random. It's as if everybody exploded out of a vault and just stayed where they landed in Fallout 3. Which made no goddamn sense. And in this game, Jesus Christ, dude, in Fallout 3, these people have been spending the last, I don't know, however long, bitching about, like, well, I ran out of old cans of pork and beans. Or some bullshit like that. In New Vegas, there's... The quests, the story, the incidental dialogue, the design of the actual landscape all point you towards the notion that these people are trying to survive and trying to create civilization again. And that makes a little bit of sense being on the outskirts of the NCR. But running across farmsteads that aren't just a house and a fence and a dead Brahmin, but like fields of like...
maize and...
Yeah, like... Even though it's, like, sad and kind of pathetic because there's no rain and there's no irrigation, it doesn't matter. Like, you're actually seeing it and realizing that, like, this is a little more in line with believable fiction of what people would be doing after a catastrophe like this. And I feel much more attached to everything that happens in this world because of it. Mm-hmm. And the factional experience, which sort of develops as you move along and you start realizing, well, there's these guys and they don't like me or hate me, and these guys don't like me or hate me, but like I can like watch all of their actions and recognize how each of them behaves, and I'm like, all right, you with the dog on your head, you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
So forget whatever I might gain by being your faction buddy. You are KOS to me. Because I was just trying to pick that fucking corn. And you came over and stabbed me with that piece of corrugated sheet metal. So fuck off. And like, you know, crucifying guys, that's pretty hardcore. So, like, you guys can just all go to hell. I don't like you anymore. NCR's full of hot chicks anyway, so.
Yeah. I got to one little side mission. Because I rerolled my character.
Have you beaten it yet?
No, I rerolled my character.
How far did you get before you rerolled?
I was like level 10.
I'm like level 13 or 14, and like I have... had the temptation to re-roll because I was misled by my own expectations.
Same here.
Because the game changed a lot. It, like, they don't just have speech skill checks in the dialogue anymore. It's like all of the different skill options.
Barter, science, repair,
explosive. All of that stuff is a skill check in the dialogue now. So I started like going crazy and being like, I gotta be tops in all of this shit. And you realize like,
you can't.
No, you can't and you shouldn't.
Yeah.
And you'll fuck yourself if you try. I should have just done what I always do and make my sneaky sniper guy.
That's what I decided on. But I wanted to play more over the weekend, but I had to other, you know, I had to fly out.
Right, right.
Out of state. But, so I'm re-rolling it, and so I'm back in Good Springs, and I just finished that up, and I'm on my way down to Prim.
To Prim, yeah.
To, you know, pick up my little cyborg.
I guess we should probably sort of quasi-spoiler some stuff just
early
because...
Early game spoiler?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, I've got like fucking like almost 40 hours in it, but I'm not... I haven't even gone to the strip yet. Like, I've been off doing some other stuff.
I made it to the
strip
before I decided to re-roll. Okay. I was actually in the Vegas strip itself.
I forestalled all that shit so I could go do... I did all of McCarran.
I got held up at the gate. You know,
where?
Going into Vegas itself.
Yeah.
Because they require, like, money.
Yeah, they do a credit check on you.
It's funny. Like, you guys don't have any money, and I've got, like...
Who doesn't have any money?
You said you, like, spent all your money.
I said I routinely went down to no money, but then
okay.
always found a way to go. Like,
I'm
never without less than, like, 8,000 caps for very long. I'm just saying, like, when I have 8,000 caps, I spend it. And then I go get 8,000 more caps. So, I'm walking around, like, poor. Not
I haven't yet nearly any point
bullets.
In the game since the beginning. Like, I could have walked in there, no problem.
I had never just spent. Over 1,000. Because, you know, I'm getting upgrades. I'm buying.
What does it cost to get in?
$2,000.
$2,000
credit
check
to
on
get
you.
In.
They just do a check against
you.
Oh,
you have to be
total.
Carrying at least $2,000
right.
on you to get in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually went in one time.
Does that count if you go in via the monorail?
No, that doesn't count.
Yeah. Okay.
By the monorail.
Yeah, you could go to the airbase.
I went in one time, but I didn't stay because I'd fucked some shit up getting in. Like the guards by the monorail, they started to warn me that like. I couldn't approach them or they would shoot me, but I was already, like, next to them before they had the words out of their mouth, so they attacked, and, you know, my buddy kills them. And I was like, well, I'm at least going to see, like, what's behind this door before I reload. And so I, like, got on the monorail, and it's like, Gates! It's New Vegas! All right. So I reloaded, and I haven't been back since. I, like, went up and around and, like, found a bajillion quests to do up there. And,
Are you playing on the 360?
Yeah.
Okay.
Up. What else am I going to play on?
That's true. Yeah,
so,
I thought you might be playing on the PC for some reason.
No, not playing it on my netbook. That's
yeah,
for, that's
no
for
kidding.
Sure. And then I ran it. I ended up with some quests that I needed slightly higher stats to get the resolution that I wanted on them.
Yeah.
So I headed out to Air Force Base.
Nellis.
I headed out to Nellis and like. You know, did a whole bunch of stuff out there, and now I'm back over there, like, completing the stuff I needed to level up for. And
I'm interested in how well they did in Ellis. I mean, I'm sure it's probably nothing like what I remember.
No, you shouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that.
Kind of
I would just go play the game.
Yeah.
For what it's worth. But
over here's the one.
Yeah. Is it going to bother you if Nellis isn't quite right, meanwhile you're killing giant 12-foot-long scorpions?
No, because, you know... the timeline, like we said, it broke off in the 50s, so, you know, from where we are today. So, you know, no, that's pretty fine. I do find myself running a lot more from giant red scorpions.
Well,
like it
because the game is, like, balanced a little better this time. Like,
and I am playing it on hardcore mode, on hard.
Yeah, I mean, hard. Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of... Honestly, Fallout 2, just the difficulty of initial difficulty of Fallout 2.
Well, but I mean,
up there.
To make the obvious comparison, these are the people.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the guys who should have been making it in the first place. These are the guys who should have been making 3. The idea that we went to Bethesda and then to these guys. I mean, I understand, and I was kind of joining in on the sort of jolly speculation about how much of a mess the game would be technically. Because of Obsidian's involvement. And there's some stuff that they've done that I actually do not like. But the first off, I mean, let's put the engine stuff out of the way. I have personally had many, many, many fewer bugs in New Vegas than I ever had in 3. I mean, up until, even after all the DLC and all of the patches and everything, I was still having like just major malfunctions in 3.
Yeah, I had game... killing
and after like the first patch for New Vegas, I've had I mean very, very tiny bugs, small like animations and stuff like that, the kind of thing that I long since learned are not worth bitching about, but like show stopping bugs, I haven't had a one. I know people have, I'm not saying there aren't any, but you know, as a just kind of an anecdotal thing, this thing has been running like a champ for me. It's really, really nice. I love the fact that it's Steam integrated, even though that was actually the genesis of a couple of the bugs, the save game bugs. But the stability is really good, and in my opinion, far better than what FO3 was. The voice acting, with one or two exceptions, is absolutely...
It's head and shoulders.
Yes, it is. It's exceptionally good.
I think got more than three people.
Yeah, no, I mean, they got, you know, and, like, say what you will about, like, getting famous voices, which I'm always sort of like, eh, about. They've done a really good job. And on top of that, it's voice acting that's working on top of extremely taut and very clever, very intricate, and very nearly perfect writing for this genre and this game. Like,
I tried looking up in IMDb, but is the Doctor, is he played by...
Nolan North.
Nolan North?
No.
No,
It's Saul.
Saul Todd?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was, but I tried looking up and I didn't see him.
Yeah, no, it's
Ben brought
it
over.
Much...
Me and Ben were like, that guy sounds familiar. And it wasn't until he said, I think he said your face, because we heard the F. And we knew Frack.
Yeah. The kind of like the kind of growling sort of swallow in his lip F.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, his was pretty clear, but it's just, I mean, good voice acting is good voice acting, and the acting and directing can be very difficult to achieve sometimes. But the fact that it's working, that it's servicing really great dialogue that's just really finely written and does a much better job of lashing you into this world and not just being like, you know, well, here I am, and like, you know, that cow there's got two heads and look at this weird thing and, you know, go find me some whatever. I don't know, just all the random shit that Fallout 3 had. And it did have some good work here and there, but just in general, this shit's stellar.
Have you tried playing the Caravan yet?
I mean, you want to talk about shit that does suck. Caravan's a piece of shit. Game makes no fucking sense. The interface is terrible.
What is
the explanation isn't that good either.
No. So it's a
card game.
It's a card game you can play against random people and just take all their money.
Gotcha.
But like, I haven't had any problem like earning money just by like selling shit I pick up. And I know that when you go on the strip, you can just basically like
blackjack and
roll through some shit, so I haven't really cared for Caravan at all. I tried to play it a couple times. I was like, makes no sense. Needlessly complex. Thanks.
Yeah.
So I just sort of ignore it. And it's the sort of thing that you don't need to pay any attention to. You can just ignore it. And whatever. Not really care. I'm a little torn on the companion issue. I did not play with any of the companions in 3. I sort of liked to have the option, and the ones I liked, I would just tell them to hang out at my house, and I never used them. I don't like the AI, and as much better as New Vegas is than 3, the companion AI is still just flaky and weird, and you don't have, even with the improved, like, companion wheel, which is better.
It'd be better, but they don't listen to it. I'm like, all right, I want you to be defensive, not always attacking.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, all right, no problem. Hey, look, there's someone 3 miles away. Let me shoot at him and, you know, aggro this guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, why'd you do that? I'm not ready.
I don't like that. I don't like that sort of thing. Unless I'm doing something very specific, like going into a vault, so I can like create a save before I go into the vault, and I want you with me just cleaning out like this very specific encounter, I do not carry them around with me. There are still just enough bugs that have them getting stuck loading between environments or randomly running off and aggroing some shit or, you know, getting trapped inside of geometry and stuff like that, that I don't need to be looking over my shoulder all the time. Especially since playing in hardcore mode, they can die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's bad.
I carry them with me pretty much everywhere, and there's been more than once I've had to reload because something fucked up, but because
you'll aggro
of the
a
way,
death claw, and you're like, why'd you do that?
Well, no, they don't aggro the things for me, because you can set them to only attack if you're being attacked. The problem is that, like, some of the things aggro you from so far away, like, they're not a problem. You just keep going wherever you're going, and you'll never have to deal with the thing. You'll never even know, unless you have a companion with you, that the thing's aggroed on you. Mm-hmm. But, like, as soon as something aggroes on you, they're, like, off to fight it.
Yeah.
You know? And it's particularly problematic when it's Edie.
Yeah.
Who, like, falls apart as soon as something touches her. Like, yeah. There needs to be an option, especially for the characters like Edie, where you just say, you don't fight shit. Ever.
See, what I think Edie should have been, and, you know, you can have, like, Edie and, like, a humanoid companion at the same time. Edie should have been a non-combat companion. Edie should have, like...
been floating...
floating and cloaked. Yeah. Or some shit like that. And, like...
this is where I
help you,
stuff.
Like... yeah, and, like, help you, like, open fucking doors. You know? Or hack terminals or something like that.
And just give you the sensor upgrade.
Yeah. That's what he should have been. He, she, whatever the fuck. Like...
I'm afraid to put it to melee, because then it'll probably just run off and just...
yeah, yeah, no, that's exactly what it'll do. So, for that reason, I don't carry them. I just keep Edie and Boone as companions, and they hang out in my hotel room at Novak. And you still get the perk.
Okay.
Like, and people occasionally remark on a robot you
yeah.
have.
And I'm like, yeah, my robot, which is back in my hotel room, like, hanging out by my gun cabinet. Like, whatever. But you do get their perk. And Veronica's perk is worthless unless Veronica's with you.
Veronica's very good at melee, though.
Yeah.
No, I mean, she... yeah, but, like, if you're just in to get the perk, her perk is you can use a workbench from anywhere. But if I have to go back to the hotel room to see you, fuck off. So I keep her and I keep Boone for the time being, for what I have. Or, I mean, I'm sorry, I keep Edie and Boone.
I haven't done too terribly much with the workbenches.
I haven't either. It's more complicated than... I don't want to say it's more complicated. It's not more complicated. You simply have a recipe, a skill level, and the necessary ingredients. It's just that... I don't need it. You know what I mean?
I wish there were people... have you found people that you could just like, hey, can you repair my stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't run into anyone like
that. Old girl at the junkyard?
I haven't been in the junkyard.
It's just north of Novak. Okay. It's directly... it's between Novak and Helios 1.
Okay. I haven't been to that part yet.
Why? You would have to go out of your way to avoid it if you're going from Novak to Helios 1.
I haven't been to Helios 1.
You've been to the Strip?
I went around and up the coast.
You're a weird motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't be trying to, like, game the progression of the game, because this game is actually doing it correctly. If you let this game lead you by the nose, you basically will see all the best shit. Yeah.
That's why I'm re-rolling. You know, just starting over. Yeah, I think I have a better idea, because I was going with too much expectation of Fallout 3 in it instead of just...
well, that's fair enough. No, you should, like... I mean, they go out of their way to present you with the notion that there are basically two arteries running through, you know, the middle of this wasteland. Yeah, like, there's the 15 and the whatever the other one is. And it's like, this one's basically shut down. So we're going to have to, like, lead you all the way around the long way. And as you go, you sort of collect and move through all these different quests, never having too much on your plate and never having nothing to do. Like, in my opinion, that progression and that blending of those two different questing styles is nearly perfect. And you are still rewarded for just randomly going off in a direction. But the game doesn't really rely on it for the bulk of your entertainment. I mean, it's just all right there. And it's linear enough to keep you on task and sort of always kind of engaged, but loose enough to reward you for going off on your own, you know, as long as you don't go out of your way to avoid certain shit.
Who'd you guys set up for the sheriff?
I got
that's
old.
That's a funny story.
Yeah, I got old boy, who had been a sheriff before, who was in the prison with the powder gangers. I kind of got to where I could do any of them, but I was like, no, I'm gonna do this guy. It's like the most rational thing, and I didn't do whatever sort of fucked up shit you did to completely screw yourself out of.
Well, it's funny. Like I played through that twice, because by the time I got down to Prem, I realized that. Well, the powder gangers hate me because I did the whole thing at the beginning where you kill them to defend old boy.
You did that beforehand.
Yeah, beforehand.
See, I didn't do that till
and
after
so,
this.
So I reloaded, and I was like, this time I'm going to go down to Prim and, like, see if I can talk to those guys. Well, see, that was my mistake. Like, I went to Prim, and the guys in Prim are assholes.
Which guys?
The guys out on the street in Prim.
Yeah, they're powder gangers.
They're escaped convicts.
Yeah.
They were escaped convicts from the prison, which is what powder gangers are. So I was like, oh, it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. And, like, of course, I was barely into the game, so I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, fuck it. If they're going to aggro me anyway, fuck them. I'll just kill them all and then go down there and deal with shit, right? And then, like, so I did all that again a second time and then eventually, like, headed up to the prison. And, of course, they're all aggroed on me, which if I'd gone there before I did that mission, I could have just walked in. But I tried to, like, find a way in and made a big circle around and killed all the guys that came up after me and then got to the door and, like, couldn't get in. I was like, fuck, maybe I can get in later. So I went and played some more. And then when I eventually, like, went on the internet and read, like, hey, there's a guy there and should have a key and, like, blah, blah, blah. And so I went back there and, like, I had basically killed everybody. And there were no bodies to loot anything off of. Like, I can't get into the prison. So I was like, I fuck it, robot, you're up.
I just set up the robot from the get-go, the first time.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I didn't, because you can't do the weapon quest if you set up the robot as the sheriff. Unless you do, like...
Do that before you set him up.
But
I didn't even realize there was a weapon quest until after I had...
The gun that, like, the Bonnie and Clyde pair are supposed to have used, like, if you tell him, like, no, it's not, the gun's not there, he runs through this whole thing where he's like, yeah, it is, I'm looking at it right now. And you run through this deal where you realize somebody stole it and hacked him. So he finds, like, the data that, you know, indicates that he's been hacked and that they took the gun, and there's a clue about where to go get it and all this other shit. But if you set him up as sheriff, like, that goes away. And I really like the gun quests, because they're never marked, they're never clear, they're never straightforward. You just have to make a lot of you have to be real deductive about what it's saying and, like, what you know about the game world to figure out where to be and what to do at a particular time. So I've always liked them. And I like getting the special named weapons.
Yeah. I got Deckard's gun from Blade Runner.
Oh, the... That gun? Yeah. Yeah, I did buy it, and I realized that's what it was. It's a fun gun.
I stole it.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whatever. Wasn't that expensive? I mean, I guess for, like, some poor schmuck like you that can't even get into the Strip... But whatever.
I'm too busy, like, you know, buying ammo and just various little things.
Yeah. I buy shit constantly. Like, I'm a spendy motherfucker, and, like, I got lots of money. What are you buying?
Just various gun upgrades.
I've bought every gun upgrade I've found.
I don't know. It doesn't sound like your problem is that you're buying too much. It sounds like you're not
earning enough.
Earning enough money, yeah.
I need to sell more stuff.
You need to sell more armor and guns.
Like, I need to sell more guns, but I like just having them on me. One thing, I'd like to pick up a carton of cigarettes. I'm like, oh, I'll sell those. That's 40. And that's not in the sell menu. So I'm like,
what happened?
I couldn't find it in the sell menu. Like, a carton of cigarettes and some of the items that I had.
What's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm. Couldn't sell
them. I've sold plenty of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at that again. Because I remember looking, and there's like, because like some items I was picking up. Pressure cooker, I think, is one of them.
How could you pay for pressure cooker?
Because it says we're $75.
Well, A, that's a lie.
Yeah. My bar
B,
high,
like,
know.
Go kill shit and sell their guns and armor. Like, that shit's actually worth some money. Like, you go do some quest and kill, like, a bunch of fiends, right? And pick up their armor and use all the armor pieces to repair each other. And then go sell that repaired ass thing for, like, 700 or 800 caps. Like, ain't hard.
Yeah.
Don't. Pressure cookers are not, I assure you, the way to get rich in Fallout. No. Don't ever pick up a pressure cooker unless you're, like, making something with the pressure cooker. It's far better things. Sell energy weapons, because, like, those suck for a while.
Yeah. I imagine you said pressure cooker, so is it safe to say the railway rifle is in the
game? It is not.
No.
No, that thing is not in there. Quite like that.
Some of the things, like, I don't think, you know, the toy gun,
yeah,
the dart gun, that I don't think that's the stuff that you built in Fallout 3.
Right.
I don't think those are in there.
And those were fun.
I wish what I really wanted is the stealth armor.
Yeah. Yeah, well. Really?
Yeah.
Would that be, I don't know, useful or something?
Extremely useful.
No, something that it did take me a long time to get my head around was the fact that the game's not fucking kidding with the different ammo types. Like, it's not. Because I just would, like, start shooting stuff, and I'm like, seriously? I just shot this rad scorpion like 50 fucking times, and it's not dead. This game sucks and it's broken.
And you change your ammo type?
And then eventually you realize that, you know, it is not the spoon that bends, and that you must yourself alter your perception of the game. And I'm like, oh, put in the armor-piercing ammo. And all of a sudden shit dies in like a few shots. And I'm like, ah, okay, now I'm not quite so stupid as I was like five levels ago. And that can be a pain in the ass, carrying around all the ammo. But like, then you realize, again, the game isn't carrying around like 35 different guns and all of their different ammo types is not what you're supposed to be doing. You're really supposed to dedicate yourself to a handful of different things. So I carry, like, at the moment I have the service rifle with armor piercing. Then I have the cowboy carbine with hollow points. Just because switching between ammo types on some of those guns takes a long time. So I open a fight with, you know, the armor-piercing stuff, and then start, like, doing, you know, once you get the little armor break icon that you've broken their armor, start doing, like, hollow points or regular bullets or something like that, you know. And I've got, like, the varmint rifle because I finally picked up the night scope on it.
Yeah.
And then the, that gun and, like, a 357 and a shotgun, you know. But I try to, like, keep as much combined ammo types as I can and everything. I mean, I save a lot of shit, you know. When I get a lot of stuff, I carry it that I might want to use. I carry it back to my hotel room and put it in the cabinet. But
and you start breaking down some of the ammo so I can build up some more stuff that I need.
Yeah, and I mean, I do that, but like, I just don't ever really get around. If I don't get around to building the ammo, it's like, eh, whatever. It's not that big a deal. Like, I've got what I need. You know, I've always got what I need. I'm never really running out of ammo. I just go buy it from. Did you ever find the 188?
No.
God, damn it. You really went the fuck... Yeah, like, you really went out of your way. Because that's where, like, I think the first Gunrunner trader is that you can come across if you play the game correctly. But...
I'm doing more of the story progression now, or following the path they want me to go.
Right.
With the exception, I think, once I get my, my lockpick up to 100% or close enough where I can use a skill book, there's a sniper rifle I want to get.
Where?
It's at the sniper outpost. It's on the east southeast side of the map.
Oh, okay. I was talking about. I haven't been there, but I know about it. I read about it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little. Like I said, I still haven't gone to the strip. I kind of. Jeremy sort of went north and dealt with some stuff. We had a very similar experience up to a certain point.
I went to Sloan to, like, see if I can just go up that way.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Deathclaws, I'm like,
yeah. No. No, they want you to go the entire other route. But getting right up to that point, I sort of broke off and did a whole bunch of shit at McCarran. Did almost all of the stories and stuff there. Which was really good, because that's the point at which our discussions, like, had to kind of diverge, and we realized that's really where our play styles started showing their differences. But... And like I said, I got like 40 in it already. I feel like I could probably put another 40 in without trying too goddamn hard. So, I don't know. But overall, I don't feel like kind of the bone-crushing levels of isolation and loneliness that I did in 3. I don't feel like that pointlessness to the environment, you know? It's kind of nice to see some fictional evidence of people actually trying to make something out of this post-apocalyptic world instead of just a bunch of people scrounging around in a muddy shithole for however many decades they've been doing this, you know? I like it a lot.
Did you get the classic pack? Did that come with the...
No. Okay. No, I didn't bother. I didn't particularly care.
Because like mine comes with like a canteen that I think keeps you from dehydrating.
Mm-hmm. That's a little. I'm not entirely pleased with hardcore mode. Some of it's really bullshit. The thirst and the hunger is just like. this isn't subtle or interesting. It doesn't.
You get hungry and thirsty way too fast.
Yeah, that's hungry's in. Yeah, but still, dude, like, I can't fast travel from point A to point B.
That's when it becomes a problem. It's when you start fast traveling long distances.
Yeah, and then you got to, like, pull out some water and drink.
Like,
and it's
beginning
just,
when you're just, like, you know, going up the path and whatever, and fast traveling from to the next town over, it's not really a problem.
But when you start zipping around the map.
Then, yeah.
And it's just, like, it doesn't do much of anything. And it's just like, oh, I just have to waste a lot of inventory space on this shit. The fact that bullets have weight, I like it. The fact that you have to have a doctor or a doctor's bag to handle a crippled limb, I like it.
Mm-hmm. The stim packs aren't instantaneous?
Yeah, I like that. What else? In theory, companion death is right. It's just that I don't
think... The way that the companions are handled...
is very bad.
Yeah.
So... that's a little awkward, but yeah, just like the hunger and thirst thing, I'm just like...
that a companion has to travel back to where they're going and possibly get killed.
Yes.
Is bad.
Yeah, the like, fact that if you dismiss them across the map from where they rest, they might not necessarily make it back, because they actually do have to make that
And
that
the fact
trip.
That a couple of the companions are not good fighters at all,
yeah.
And there's no way to tell them to just run and never attack,
mm-hmm.
That's bad.
And so I can't bear losing one of them.
It's fine as long as you don't play on hardcore, but once you take hardcore into account, those are bad design decisions. So
I'm mixed on the effects of hardcore. I like it in general. I just wish I could, and I could mod it out, of course. But I'm actually fairly happy with the vanilla game, to be quite honest. I haven't had to resort to any mods yet, really, to fix anything that I perceive to be a problem. I'll save that, I guess, for another playthrough. It's unusual that I'm this happy with a moddable game, and that I don't really have any interest in modding it. But yeah, at least I'm split. I could do without I think that maybe the canteen should have been given to everybody, just because the very idea that, like, this dumb asshole I'm playing won't refill a bottle of water, like. That's sort of stupid, you know. But whatever, it's not a big deal. It's just some more shit I have to keep in my inventory. So, yeah.
Is hunger and a thirsty picture of companions as well?
No.
Not at all. No effect.
They don't require anything. Oh, you have to eat, drink, and sleep, but they don't. And all it is like you get a little thing that shows up, and it's like, hey, you're thirsty as hell now, and it's like, oh, okay, open inventory, drink a bottle of water. Now I'm not thirsty as hell. It's that sort of thing. And I don't even know what advanced hunger and thirst does. I mean, I know you're suffering from sickness, but it, like,
eventually
gives you a... Yeah, I mean, I know it, but it's like, I don't know how the degradation works. I know you get, like, a loss of some endurance or something.
Yeah, endurance and perception.
Right. But it's not...
The endurance is annoying on its own, because usually I'm almost always carrying near my max of what I can carry. Once I go into, like, advanced hunger, I lose endurance. So, like, I can't move. I have to deal with it immediately.
Well, and, like, I always do something stupid. Like, I will eat the first food I see when the little hunger thing comes up. And inevitably, it's, like, some stupid, like, you know, what, just some fucking bullshit, like, asshole meat or something. And it's, like, reduces your strength by one. And because, again, just like you, I'm usually carrying near my max capacity... I'll eat something, and all of a sudden, like,
you can't move.
My overall inventory management, like, drops by 10, and I'm like, oh, dude, fuck.
I'm real careful about what I eat.
Yeah, I should be, but I'm not. Yeah, like I said, that whole thing I don't particularly care for. The other parts of it, I think, are really quite good.
Hey, Jeremy, did you pick up the Wacky Wasteland perk?
Hell yeah.
I'm a little disappointed at how...
I've only had one thing happen that appeared to be Wacky Wasteland.
Which I wanted more.
Yeah.
I've had two. I've seen the icon twice.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones and the dog, the name of the dog.
Where is that?
That's right in the very beginning at Good Springs.
Where?
You know where the water
yes.
areas are? It's off to the left hand. Like if you're going down, the water's on the right. It's on the left hand side of the road.
Okay.
So down that area.
Did you guys find a guy like?
Yeah, he's
like.
My girlfriend.
Yeah, it's like up there.
Yeah, he was just an asshole.
Yeah.
I went up there. There was nothing up there.
Yeah, I know. He was being an asshole. He was
tricky. He attacked you.
He wanted
never
you to...
attacked me either.
Like, oh, that's weird.
He's really? Still there telling me that his girlfriend's up.
No, you have to go. You have to go like all the way up the path.
And you see a body with the yeah. guy that's sitting there with the deck of cards, and it'll give you a little crazy
Johnny Five Aces.
Yeah,
man, I've been like all up around there. I hadn't seen shit.
I don't think you went to the right spot.
No,
because there are
no more spots. Like.
No, it's there. That spot is even actually viewable from below the cliff you're supposed to go up to. I assure you. And up there, there's just a little stash of shit, but it's being guarded by a bunch of them little, like, yeah, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And, like, you just go up there, and once you get far enough along, he's like, I just, you know, yeah, I lied. I just wanted you to clear these things out for me, and now I can get that treasure, and as soon as I deal with you. And then he goes hostile, and then you kill him. So.
Yeah.
I just think you have it. If you haven't seen that stuff up there, then you haven't gone far enough in the right direction. Because you have to go up, but then kind of it's a switchback. It's not just up and around to the corner past the little tower he tells you about. It's up and then it turns back and kind of goes back up the direction you came
like
from.
Like up that kind of mountain
yeah.
area thing?
Yeah, but there's like multiple areas. There's multiple ways to go up there.
I'm telling you, man. Like,
did you kill the geckos?
I killed me a shit ton of geckos.
It geckos all over there, though.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to tell you, but there like definitely is a thing up there. So
yeah, there
I don't know, but it's definitely there. I mean, maybe a bug that you have,
quite possible
in your version.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But yeah, overall, man, I'm like, haha! Your H2O icon just popped up. I can tell. Now, overall, man, I'm fucking real champion fucking game, dude. Like,
yeah.
Avalon and all those old Black Isle boys did some good work. I could never go play 3 again, I don't think. This is such a superior experience to me in almost every way. And I really, really love it. So, and I was, you know, and you know how I am. Like, stuff that I'm really, really skeptical about and totally think is going to be suck. When it turns out to be something I enjoy, I like.
You like it that much more.
Like, I really like it that much more because I'm like, oh my god, this is not only good, but it's good in all the ways I thought it was going to be bad.
Well, because last week you were very skeptical when we were talking about it.
Yeah.
And you know, I read Rock Paper RPS's review.
That was actually a fun thing, like,
yeah.
Because the review was one thing, but you had to read the comments.
I didn't read any of the comments.
No, well, then you didn't really read the review.
Yeah.
Because the comments tore Quinn's a new asshole. It was like, dude.
Like 100% against the
yeah.
review.
Right, because
the only people that agreed with him were people who hadn't played the game.
Yeah, I didn't agree with him or anything, but I was like, I'm going to read the review. I'm going to read their review.
I mean, and you know how I am about them.
Yeah, exactly.
I trust them. But, like, I read that and I was like, this dude, you're fucking A, out of touch. You are out of touch with what this game is actually doing. Maybe you didn't like it, but, you know, the notion that they just completely phoned this game in, are you out of your fucking mind?
No way at all.
Are you seriously complaining that the game is more empty than Fallout 3? It's a fucking wasteland of a wasteland.
Yeah.
What the hell is it supposed to be?
You got that right now, it's a wasteland. I can't imagine after...
It's perfect for what it needs to be. I mean, you know, and certainly some of you guys might disagree. I mean, and that's whatever. I haven't sampled a lot of the opinions on the internet. I've actually been too busy playing it, but I have thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed myself so far. I like it a great deal. I mean, I really, really like it. It's got just the right sense of humor, just the right combination of critical events that call back to the previous games, and just the right sense of things having developed over a significant period of time. It is, I will repeat, what Fallout 3 should have been.
Yeah. I can't believe, Kevin, he's been playing Fallout as long as I have, you know, since the first one, 07. I can't believe he hadn't played it yet.
Yeah, I need to give him some shit about that, because, like,
I think we all do.
He played the fucking tar out of some goddamn Fallout 3. So, hopefully he's not in a place where he's like, eh, whatever. More Fallout, more the same, because
I think he's more, you know, stuck in Eve right now.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. He might just not have the option to get in the game just this moment. So, but I know you'll listen to this. Hopefully by that time you'll be playing it, because it'd be nice to talk to you about it.
Yeah, you put in about 30 hours of Fallout New Vegas.
30?
Yep. 28.8.
I feel like I put in more than that. I don't know. Yeah, maybe I haven't. I don't know. I was thinking it was mid to high 30s.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah, I just felt like I had looked at the time and thought that I'd put in more than that, but that's maybe still more than I would have thought early on, because I don't feel like I've been doing it for very long.
Have you decided to, so you're siding with NCR?
Oh, God, yes. Absolutely all the way. Like, them Legion fuckers can't stand me. Like, and, I mean, yeah. I don't have any relationship to the politics of NCR as it was represented in previous games. I know that that meant something, because there's a lot of people out there on the internet who are just kind of, fuck NCR. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know, dude. I'm sort of coming into this whole thing fresh.
Yeah.
And they're the only people who seem to be trying to do
not
shit right.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the much more interesting explanation and I like the way the Brotherhood is talked about in this game. Instead of just being whatever the hell they were in 3, I really get a sense of what kind of borderline psychopathic assholes they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, in a brief discussion with virtually no context with, what's her name? Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
Who's one of the companions. She's a scribe. Kind of like a whatever the journeyman scribes are or something like that. And she's kind of giving you a rundown of their thing. In her brief little discussion, I got a much better sense of a much more fascinating organization than I did from all of my direct exposure to them in Fallout 3.
Yeah, Fallout 3, I think they were painted with too nice a picture.
Far too nice if what she says is at all true to whatever's happened before. Like, because
yeah.
her whole thing was like, this is what they do. Yes, they're here to save you, but they're here to save you from you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're here to do it by stealing from you anything that you could possibly use in any way to hurt yourself, even if it would make your life better.
Yeah.
If you're being killed by something in front of them, they just as soon turn their back on you, unless you're carrying a plasma rifle, and then they'd want to loot it from your body.
Yeah.
Like,
step on your neck while you're getting
yeah, started. And she said, you know, if you really want to get down to it, their ultimate goal, most likely, is to let all of us die, let all of you die, so that they can be the one
to be
true
yeah.
center of repopulation, like rebirth
yes.
for the human race. And I'm like, yeah. God damn it. Like, you just had like 5 lines of dialogue and made this organization infinitely more interesting than I understood them to be.
That's why when I was playing 3, because, you know, it was so weird, because I'm used to, you know, the 1 and 2, they are painted more of that picture of just being the techno-crazy fucktards.
Right.
And so in 3, they're like, oh, we're really nice guys. I'm like, I'm a little worried about you.
Yeah.
And now I'm playing this. That's why I'm still, you know, I was a hard time trying to figure out a faction because, you know, the New California Republic in 2, I mean, fuck them. They really were, you know, the assholes at the end.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, them in the Enclave, you know, that you
just... Well, they may be assholes at the end of this. I just know that, like...
Yeah. As of right now...
These bitches are, like, keeping people safe, planting crops...
Yeah.
Trying to like get water from point A to point B, and I'm like,
but even some of the citizens,
okay.
Even them, they're like, you know, we're not too crazy about, you know, the NCR, but we don't like the Legion, you know.
Yeah, but
yeah.
Like,
they want
like
them
said,
just to be their own entity.
Like
yeah.
I said, coming into this game fresh, like here's
yeah.
the picture I get of the NCR,
and this is where he and I are kind of in the same place because we have the same experience,
yeah, like,
or lack of it.
The NCR, they bitch about them a lot about how they don't care about any of the people here. They're only there for like the power at the dam and
mm-hmm.
like fighting off Caesar and like that's the only thing they're concerned with. And I'm like, yeah, they sound kind of like a government,
right? Yeah,
you know? They sound like a bunch of guys that are concerned with national problems.
So it's like so you're telling me they're trying to maintain safety and defense
yeah,
and
the
maintain
only
an
reason.
Infrastructure.
They're the only thing standing between you...
Print money.
And being tied to a tree and set on fire.
Yeah. and they're the assholes?
Yeah.
Like, I get it, man. I get that they're like... They're in your space and they're cramping your style. But, man, like... And I see, I do see some of the shitty things they do. But you know what? Governments do shitty things. But it's not even like the lesser of two evils. It's like some shit that kind of works, even though it's a little broken. And, you know.
Versus the Caesar literal barbarians at
yeah.
the
Versus
gate.
Some crazy fuckers that want to enslave, rape, and yeah. crucify.
Yeah.
Like.
But, like, even the way that's presented, I love the contrast.
Yeah.
I think it's really, really well done. And I know a lot of people are sort of, like, a lot of people want to play, like, an Evil Legion playthrough, and the fact that you can do that is actually pretty hot, you know? Yeah. But as a, you know, my natural inclination is, like, yeah, I am. All right, you know, I'm down with you guys. Like, you're not pissed off that, like, you know, I want to come in this bar and start drinking and whoring. Like, you're mostly okay with that as long as I abide by the otherwise pretty generous rules of the establishment. I like a lot of their, you know, people, like, roughly seem kind of fair and, like, okay, you know.
You're, like, the only fucking organization in the entire wasteland that seems to, like, be okay with women, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point,
actually. You can't turn your nose up at that. Like,
true.
Yeah, they're concerned with bigger things and end up ignoring and kind of stomping on smaller things, but like,
which is kind of fun.
That's why,
they're bringing
like,
their
you assholes need to get your shit together and form a local government, because these guys are basically your national government.
Yeah,
and they're concerned with bigger things than your farmland and your, you know, your irrigation. That's local stuff. They can help out a little bit, but man, they got bigger fish to fry, and they do, you know.
Yeah,
I wish I could be a ranger. Wish there was a way for that to happen in the game. Why would you, like, present me with Rangers and then not let me be a Ranger?
Maybe that'll be the DLC.
The DLC we're not getting on PC? Yeah? Thanks for bringing that up. Shitcock.
Here's the other thing I get from the NCR. Like, I get the sense that, like, they did a lot of shitty things in the past, you know? And I'm sure that, like, there was a lot of shitty stuff in 1 and 2 that they did. But, you know, the sort of shitty thing fledgling governments do when they're really small and trying to expand.
Mm-hmm.
But now that they are actually carrying the world on their shoulders, they're having to, like, kind of shape up and be responsible. And I think a lot of the characters in the world are carrying a lot of, you know,
resentment,
a lot of water over that old shit. So it sounds kind of like a young United States thing, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I borderline adore it. I think it's really, really great. It's a well-crafted, well-paced experience, in my opinion. The changes from 3 are kind of jarring. I mean, because I think we all, whether we should have or not, came in carrying a little bit of 3 with us.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly isn't perfect. I mean, I don't want to pretend that there aren't people having, like, really, really bad bugs. I don't want to pretend that there aren't people who simply hate the game engine or the game style and don't want to like it or will not like it, regardless of the fact that the writing is infinitely better in this one and that the pacing and the story integration into the random gameplay, like, is so perfect. It doesn't matter. I think it's entirely good. And I sometimes wondered if 2 years was too soon for another game, particularly since Fallout 3 lived on for so long with so much DLC. But it's not, and I recommend it to anyone who might still be in a weird place with it.
You want to do any...
You got anything you want to do over there?
Emails and Twitters you want
to... Yeah, I want to get a new chair.
Well, it's a little late for that.
Yeah, I know. That's why I've been standing up, sitting down, standing up. I'll do some tweets. Goodness, gotta go way down the list there to get those. Let's see. Lavo says, Super Meat Boy, anyone? I'm thinking it's right up RJ's alley, but alas, it's only on Xbox Live Arcade at the moment.
Anybody Super Meat Boy, anyone?
Playing a little bit of the demo.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal in what way?
Just, you die a lot, you end up restarting.
Okay, that kind of brutal.
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty much keep dying until you find the one path that gets you there.
I heard, like, the level of, like, old school Mega Man kind of hard.
Yeah, that's about right.
side scrolling action attack?
Yeah, side scrolling platformer.
Yeah, here's another recommendation. Iron Pass says, I suppose he can wait for the PC version, which I think we're going to get later in November. But if ever there was an argument for RJ to get an Xbox, Super Meat Boy is it. So more pushes for RJ to get a 360.
I'm sure that'll actually send him over the line. I wish it would.
Seifercat says, dealing with a slow game quarter four for a change, I've gone back to WoW. MMOs are the best time sinks when a game's drought begins.
You betcha. It was a good time to be playing that game, too. Because this is in that sort of bullshit, nothing counts. We've released the last major content patch, which basically sets the stage for the next... for the next expansion, so like just fucking nothing matters. Like everybody's overpowered, everything is easy. Like if skill and accomplishment and achievement meant anything to you, which you know, come on. Like that shit should have been done a long time ago anyway. All the classes have been reshuffled, everything has been completely rejiggered and like made to resemble what we'll probably be doing in another 6 months. Like it's really good. I'm not playing a whole lot right now because I've got a lot of alts. I've got a lot of characters, but I have to ignore them. I'm not the kind of... There are some players who play so much and so often and so intensely that they can have a lot of characters at the very top level of performance, and I can't do that. I have to have my guy. I have to concentrate on him. I have to sort of deny all of those resist those urges to like go off. Oh, that looks fun. Like I'm tired of playing a melee guy. I'm gonna go play like become a priest or something, or play with my hunter again. I can't do it. I stick with my paladin. I'm not good enough at the game, and I don't spend enough time playing the game to be good enough at multiple characters. But if I just stick with him, I can actually be pretty good with him. So he's my dude, and I've done like whatever, you know. I got my Lich King kill. You know, and I have like my heroic 25, but whatever. I don't give a shit. It doesn't matter.
So yeah, I can't even do that on Borderlands. Not an MMO, but you know, it doesn't take long to get to the top level. But I can only get like maybe two people up to top level in Borderlands, and I have no desire to get anybody else and do the same thing. I mean, I can focus on one or two, and that's pretty much it.
Well, in Borderlands, though, one of the character, I don't know about you, but the tank, I just have no desire to play that character at all.
Well, it's a drastically different play style.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with my little sniper guy.
Yeah.
You know, I tried a little bit of the female Lilith, but I just always go back to Mordecai.
To be honest, the problem in proper MMOs, and this is by design, is that because there's almost always such a wide range of characters. You know, you've got, what, three different types of dudes? Four different types of dudes in Borderlands, right? And WoW, you have 10. Like, you have 10 distinct classes. And two completely different factions. And for each of those classes, with the exception of, I think, four of them, you can play two to three distinctly different roles. Like, the idea that I'm tired of being a paladin tank, I want to go be a shadow priest DPS, or I'm tired of being a paladin tank, I want to put all my effort into being a retribution paladin, like, and do DPS. Like, the idea isn't simply, like, I don't like this. There are four styles of play, and I only like two of them. In this thing, it's like, they've done such a good job of tuning everything to be so fun and playable once you kind of get your hands on it that it's... You can really, really fall into a trap of not knowing what you like most. And that's problematic. I mean, a lot of suckers like me, you know... Whatever. Like, there's a lot of guys out there that dedicate themselves to just DPS players. It's a DPS class. That's all they can do is do damage. And that's a thing, you know? But... You know, my paladin gets me in everything. You need a tank, I can tank. You need a healer, I can do that. You need a DPS, I'm okay. So, but it is A, of course I know how you feel. Like, you can bleed away a lot of time playing with your friends in an MMO. B, it's a good time to be playing this MMO. Mm-hmm. And they've done. They have raised the bar so high that it's barely even the same genre of game that other MMOs are competing in. And what they're going to be doing with Cataclysm is spectacular. The degree to which they've changed everything. And the fact that that's right there. Some of the changes we're living in, but like we're basically in the foothills of those changes. And that's, you know, something that you've spent anywhere from 1 to 6 years playing. Like, it's fun. I don't give a shit how many people pretend to hate what they know about WoW. It doesn't matter. It's fun. So.
It's a good time to be playing WoW unless you're my father-in-law.
Right.
And don't listen to me.
Yeah, and you buy an e-machine.
Yeah. Yeah, his machine got to, like, he was complaining about being slow, and so he, like, went and bought a new e-machine. And he called me, like, it's still, like, really slow, like, running WoW. And I'm like,
yeah,
he's like, if I buy this video card that I looked at that's, like, $40, will it play? I was like, yeah.
It'll run the launcher, yeah.
Sort of, but I was like, you should not do that. I was like, can you take this thing back? He's like, yeah, I can take it back. I was like, do that. Take it back. I'll build you, like, a champ machine that you don't have to worry about. And he's like, oh, I just kind of want to get this running. And, like, you shouldn't do that. Because the reason...
You don't know what you're talking about.
The reason WoW isn't running good now is because it's been patched up and they've added all this stuff. And so it's heavier now than it was. And there's a big update coming out in just, like, a little bit. You shouldn't do that. Guess what he did? He's still running the e-machine. So got a call today, like, yeah, he's having computer problems. Well, after the patch, it and running good. I'm like, yeah.
So your father-in-law is a lot like Scott.
Hey, Scott eventually built that fucking machine. Yeah. Scott didn't go buy
anything. I stayed away from games until I built the machine.
And what kind of TV did you get?
I got a laser DLP, 75-inch, that I'm fucking happy with, so fuck off. Buy what the fuck I goddamn want to buy.
Only in that Scott bought what he wanted to buy.
What yeah, anybody says.
That's why he's happy.
Scott's almost the opposite in that Scott bought something way better than what he should have.
So yeah, there's that.
Just tired of people giving me shit about my TV.
That's really tough. I'm going to keep giving you shit about
your TV. Is it like the size of your den, like the last one?
It's bigger than the last one, isn't it?
It's bigger screen size than the last one, but it actually takes up less
space on the floor.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but... takes up more of the wall.
I totally... Well, I got a picture of it.
It has
I'll
to
show you.
If it's bigger.
You
bought Metro, yeah?
You did actually buy it. I bought Metro yesterday. I just checked today. Well, no, I bought it yesterday.
What the fuck?
I didn't get home yesterday until fucking 9, and that was bed, because you got to get up 5.
You're doing this entirely wrong. Yeah, it was like 14 bucks. Yeah. That's not bad. I really wanted him to have had that when we built his box, because I wanted to fucking turn that shit all the way up and see how it ran. On top of the fact that it's a really, really fun game.
You picked that up, and not really a baseball guy, but it was only like $2. MLB 2K10, MLB 2K9, and MLB Front Office Manager, I think, was on Steam sale. Yeah.
I just stepped to the games. On that.
But I got all three of those.
RJ just plays games.
I got all three of those for
like
$3.
Yeah.
Not each, but the whole thing, $3.
Oh.
I was like, okay. And I picked up Dogfighter.
So it wouldn't hurt.
Oh, okay.
For $1.50. And now they're having a Halloween sale. So, and they got some deals in there that I may be picking up as well.
Well, do me a favor and install Metro, because I want to come over and see it.
Yeah. Gersnort,
I don't know why.
Gersnort says, first I was fucking ecstatic that there's a new Tribes in development. Then I was disappointed when I learned who's making it.
I gotta just be...
Let it go.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. Nobody... Maybe if I let go, right? Maybe if I just sort of like fall off the edge of the building like Michael Douglas did, like it'll turn out it's actually my birthday party at the bottom and there really will be a good Tribes. But the more I try to grasp the fiction, like the notion that there's going to be another good one, like, you know, the further I just kind of recede into my own, it's horrible. I'm going to let go.
Is it getting the Sonic syndrome?
No, no, it's not even that. It's because it hasn't been that frequent. Yeah. It's been
no, it hasn't been that frequent.
It's just more like
keep trying to recapture
it's,
what was there.
It's not even so much that people keep trying to do it. It's that it's been spoken of so much and demanded, and Tribes is revered. You know, I mean, you know that. You don't even have to know what the hell Tribes is to know that it's kind of revered by people who played it. So the idea that it must be done again, that it must, in some form, rise again and be done perfectly, is always there. It's just immaterial, you know? And it never really is. So to see something like this pop up again, it's just like, oh, Jesus Christ. Just can't. At this point, just put backpacks on more shit that let me fly around. Just give me more jetpacks, man. Whatever. I don't know. I feel the same way, though. I can't care.
Count Elmdor says, I'm curious about you guys' takes a take on Castlevania Lords of Shadow.
I haven't played it.
I don't have one yet. I don't know. I
haven't played it.
I thought you had said you had played it.
I played the demo.
Oh, the demo. Okay.
I mean, to be fair, before Fallout came out, Jeremy and I were pretty much sure we just hated video games. I mean, I'm not kidding you. We were like...
We had some pretty...
I was like, dude, this shit's just boring.
Depressing discussions. I'm
really kind of tired of all this shit. And, like, Vegas was exactly what we needed. Mm-hmm. Something really compelling. Which also explains why we like it so much. But in general, we were just like, I don't want to play any of this crap. Like, I mean, I refresh my reader and I sort of, like... mindlessly scroll through the news about some bullshit that I don't care
about.
There
was one day I looked up at him like, I was like, I'm pretty sure I hate this industry.
Yeah.
it's been a pretty barren release.
It's not that simple, though.
I understand.
It's just fucking pathetic. Like, so much of what's going on is just fucking pathetic. That I can't bother looking forward to things anymore because I know... And it's not even just... It's not even becoming jaded or being cynical. It's just like...
How
have a better
you get that feeling though that like you know that you used to have when you're like, oh my god, this game's awesome, and I'm in it, and then I'm there.
I mean, I'm kind of having that with New Vegas.
Yeah,
it would be different. It would be different if it wasn't so familiar.
Yeah.
If again, a lot of what made Fallout 3 what it was like the newness. It's like, oh, it's you know the whole Oblivion with guns thing. Only I'm not angry about it. But I mean, so it's great, and we are obviously loving it, having talked about it as much as we did, but. More so, I can't look at anything in the future and be like, oh my god, I can't wait till that comes out. You know? As much as I loved... I mean, maybe if Mass Effect 3 was imminent, I'd be a little more jazzed. Mm-hmm. But with, you know, like Dragon Age 2 right around the corner, I am perfectly happy with all the changes that they appear to have made. I refuse to be dragged down by any of this... unverified, unnecessary pessimism about it. I can't care enough. I love Dragon Age. Played it for a long time. Played all the way through it and did all the shit. But, like, it's not fucking sacred, man. Mm-hmm. It's really not. Like, yes, you had some stuff that imitated Baldur's Gate-style gameplay. And, like, it was good. But, like, it ain't the world. It's not the world. It'll be fine, whatever they do. This isn't going to be as big a blow if that type of gameplay disappears. To PC gaming. It doesn't mean as much as we think it does. Just play the game and enjoy a good game. And I can't get my ire up over it, you know. But that, to me, feels like a bad sign. Is that I'm not too excited one way or the other. I don't hate enough things right now. I just sort of can't be bothered by a lot of it. Maybe it's
that lack of innovation lately. I mean,
the
newest titles are always compared to something that came out earlier before, you know. Oh, they're trying to be like this other title that was hot 2 years ago. I mean, Lords of Shadow, I keep hearing comparisons to... it's a combination between...
Gears and God.
God of War. And Gears of War. Yeah. And you splice them all together, and you... If you do all the aspects of those three games right, put them all together properly, man, probably will make a good game, but...
Yeah.
Nothing very innovative about it.
Or maybe
it.
You get something inbred, you know?
Yeah.
I don't even know anymore. I don't even know exactly where to be on any of it, so I haven't met the industry halfway at all. I'm just sort of cautious. So like I said, it was really nice for Vegas to come along and just have me excited about a video game again.
Yeah.
Ravenlock asks, Kirby's Epic Yarn. Seriously, one of you needs to play that.
I fully intend to play that at some point, but it didn't work out in my Gamefly queue where I was going to be able to do it on the plan I had. So I'll play it, but it'll be later.
Yeah, I'm about later in the year.
I'll have to get my Wii back.
You don't want it back. You pretend like you do, but you don't really.
Because I put so much effort into trying to get
it. I know, right? Well, I've been trying so hard to keep it away from you. I don't even know where the damn thing is. I think I probably sold it.
He had like 2,000 caps for that.
Yeah, I did. Got me into the strip.
Can't come in. Want a wee?
No. Right.
Yeah, really, no. We've shot people for that. Nightkind says, did anyone else notice that Fable 2 and Fallout 3 came a week apart when released, like Vegas and Fable 3 did, just reversed?
I did not. It didn't occur to me.
I remember Fable 2 came out
cute.
In October, mid-October, something like that, and then late October, Fallout 3 hit.
You know, that's probably the last time Becky and I fought over the 360 was Fallout 3 and
Fable 2,
which is why we're fighting over the 360 again.
Didn't you say something about getting one of your spares working?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got two 360s set up now, and I borrowed James's old HD set, which has been at work for a while. So mine's like on one wall in the room, hers is on the other, and like facing opposite directions playing her games.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Lavos asks again for Super Meat Boy impressions. Also includes Minecraft in that as well. It says you are dangerously behind the internets.
This isn't wrong.
Yeah.
You've been playing Minecraft, right, Scott?
I did. I jumped into it, God, I don't know, about a month ago, I guess, for a few weekends, and I jumped into it really hard over a weekend. Then, like, every day I'd come home and I'd jump into it and continue working on my cave mansion or whatever. It's just fun to build. And then played it some more that weekend, and then it kind of drifted off. It kind of, that new toy polish went quick for me on that one. But, you know, they're releasing a Halloween update for this weekend, so I'll probably jump in and check and see what that has to offer.
Did you see the video on YouTube about the guy building the Enterprise D in Minecraft?
Yeah,
I saw that. Well, importing.
Yeah, he just imported.
Not that doesn't make it pretty cool.
Yeah.
But the guys on COG have built some amazing stuff. The giant, I can show you some of it here.
Yeah, I'll say, I saw the thread, there was like a huge towers one of the guys built.
A huge fucking pyramid. Huge. And they built a little cog symbol in the sky out of gold bricks and stuff. And it's amazing to see what people can build. And then you try and do it yourself, and I really set my standards low. And they pretty much stayed there. I caught my whole front yard on fire. Because I had a bucket of lava. And I was like, I wonder what happens if I just put it on the ground. And I did, and it didn't do anything. And I was like, well, there's a low-hanging tree. I wonder what happens if I put it on the ground. Fucking leaves caught on fire. The trees next to it caught on fire. It all burned down.
So you're the Minecraft arsonist now?
Yeah, really. Just I wanted to see what would happen, and I found out. So, but you can grow it all back. It takes no time at all.
I seem to do that where some guy built this nice, elaborate house. It's a tutorial video on how to build a fireplace in Minecraft. And it's a nice house. He's like, all right, now...
Wonder what's going to happen now.
And yeah, he burned the whole house down.
And then the video, you tried to put it out with like a shovel, so he kept smacking it.
Yeah, he put out a shovel and then some water, then eventually just like gave up on it. He just sat outside and watched the whole thing burn. He's like,
all right. Yeah, but there was just something... Like, if you play in single player, then at night, monsters spawn. And so your whole thing during the day is to create shelter and defend yourself, or prepare to defend yourself for when night falls and the monsters spawn. But once I got on the multiplayer server with the rest of COG, theirs is you know, doesn't have that issue. It's strictly creative. That's all it's for. So the monsters don't spawn or anything like that. And it appealed to this, back when I used to put Lincoln logs together and just build. And that appealed to me, to kind of build a fort or build this house. I built a cave mansion. And inside, it's got all sorts of different passageways inside of it. Just but I'm the only one that knows about it. Nobody else. Anybody else comes in, they don't know it's there. They just look around, because everybody's pretty respectful of everybody else's stuff. Unless you get a bucket of fucking lava and burn down your front yard. Or if I'd have done that in somebody else's place, I'd have felt probably really bad about that. Or I'd have just logged off and said, I didn't do it. but yeah, it appealed to me for a while. And again, I'm going to check it out and see if this Halloween update, what it does. It's adding some new things, and then it's adding some just strictly theme type things for the weekend. And so I kind of want to see what's there and see if I can spark that back into me as far as building again. So, but yeah, I have played some of Minecraft. We just got an email from Calgar99. Says, just saw your tweet that you're recording, and I've just finished work while talking to punters about old Sega Mega Drive memories. Work in a bar, and it's 2:30 in the morning. Wow. The one memory that stuck out for me was your parents thinking that when they turned off the TV, they switched off the game. I'll never forget that feeling of triumph that I had. Fooled my mom. Or the lengths you would go to convince they had killed your session while you made sure nothing touched the start button. The sulking on the outside while on the inside, you were just waiting for them to leave the room so you could continue. I feel sorry for the upcoming generation, because there's no way I'm falling for that shit.
Well, like, back then you had to make sure to cover whatever light was on the console. You had to, like, put some shit on it, like a sock or, I don't know, like, fucking tape. Whatever. Well, I mean, you know, it had to be... I mean, tape was good if you could plan ahead. But if it's the situation he's talking about where they come in and they're like...
Kick a sock over to cover up.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, punch the button on, you know, my 9-inch black and white TV. And just kind of like throw some laundry over the, you know, over the console. And it's like, yeah, you showed me. All right.
Everything makes so much noise with the fans, and, you know. Yeah.
Well, now everything has lights on them all the time, no matter what the fuck they're doing.
That too.
Yeah.
So
there were a couple of times. One was I was like on the next to last level of Super Mario Brothers 3. You know how goddamn long that game is, particularly if you're not warping. And I didn't know, like, at the time, like, how to do the double warp with the whistles to get to the end. So I played my ass off to get to the end, and she was like, it's late. It needs to be time for bed. You got school in the morning. I was like, but the thing, she's like, no, turn it off. I was like, rah! So I turned the TV off and, like, you know, covered up the little light. She went out, you know, like, turned the lights off and everything. I, like, turned the TV on, turned the brightness, like, all the way down. Sound just as I could barely hear it. And then, like, finished my Super Mario Bros. 3.
Nervous the entire time.
Yes.
That she would come back in. And
but I was
like,
not, like... letting, you know, I mean, you know how NES was too. Like, if anything bumped that shit the wrong way, that's gone. So, I was finishing my Mario 3. The other was my stepbrother, who was a lot older than me. He was married and, like, had his own family by the time, like, my mom married my stepdad. Had, like, given me all these old Sierra games. One of them was Leisure Suit Larry. I don't think she didn't realize he had given me that. And I mentioned that, like, you know. And I thought I was nearly, you know, finished with it. She's like, I don't think you need to play that until you're older. She had seen it at his house. She's like, why don't you give that to me, and I'll give it back to you when you're older. I was like, all right. So I gave her the floppies, but it was on my hard drive, so, you know.
He goes on to say, if my possible future kid didn't save, well, that's his or her own damn fault for being too damn cocky or forgetful. I think I might actually take some sadistic pleasure out of ruining their game. Maybe even deleting saves. Hey,
you know, not for nothing, but if you've got enough savvy as a person who likes games or understands games and you've got kids, dude, I would go out of my way to have them playing video games. Because that's like... I don't know, man. It's like a pimp getting one of his whores addicted to crack. Right? It's like, why don't you just go ahead and slip your head into this leash right here? Mm. Now I have a method to control you. Right? So I would just get my kid into all kinds of games, and I would just be fucking pulling strings and, like, dialing knobs every time I wanted a certain behavior.
That grass is a little high out there.
And I mean, like, certainly I'm not saying, like I've just figured out how to make kids do what you want. I'm just saying, like... If you enjoy video games, like, it's clearly something you would understand. So you would have some notion of what it meant to them. Because, you know, none of us ever grew up enough to stop caring about video games. So, I would absolutely use that. You know, I would cut your fucking WoW account off in the goddamn heartbeat. Oh, it'd be awesome. I kind of just want to have kids so I can do that too.
He says that, this possibly is a pointless email, but I've missed you. Keep up the good work, and I'm sure it's been mentioned, but Medal of Honor, what a waste of a great property. It could have been so much more.
Yeah.
You ground your kid from their most recent save game.
Yeah.
Continue to act up, ground them from their two most recent save games. That works a lot better than just saying, well, you can't play it for a period of time. Then you can go back to it and be like, no, that save game's gone.
Yep.
Ooh. How much are you going to have to redo?
Yep.
Now go clean up before I get rid of another save.
I like that.
Man. You've been thinking, haven't you?
he got me thinking about
it. Well, he got you. But what I'm saying is, like, you still are in touch enough with it to know what would suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do. Mm-hmm. If you think you know, like, if you don't know what would hurt them or not, like, physically hurt them, but if you don't have any understanding of what they value, then you don't know what to take away or what to modulate or what to throttle. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think turning off the TV on button causes them some sort of grief, like, well, then you're not up to the job of causing them grief.
Like, they've already gone through the Omega Relay, then, you know, take it all the way back to where they're at,
beginning.
Yeah. Whatever, man. I'd like, you know, because, like, one of my friends, Matt, has, he has, like, his two WoW accounts, you know, and his little kid that he's raising up, like, he's leveling a son, you know, and his kid gets to, like, play with us sometimes, and he's, you know, he's good. We don't like playing with kids, but, like, my buddy Matt's kid, you know, so he's, like, six or seven now or something, and he can, like, whatever, he can elemental shaman pretty well, you know, he can shadow priest pretty well, so he gets to do those things. And I just know that, like, I have a good understanding of how Matt would deal with this stuff, like, you know, because they love playing together. And, man, I'd be like, you have to send me all your gold every day. I'm like, my little gold farmer. Like, you know, like, if you want something, then I'll give you some gold. But, like, if you're an asshole in real life or whatever, like, I'm not going to buy you 310 flying. How about that shit? Or, you know, whatever. I don't know. I don't know how it would work.
Want to do more emails?
Let's do one more.
One more email. Let's go with Spigot. And let's get the computer closer. Here we go. Hey, guys. This is in response to the discussion you had a few episodes back when someone asked if you were embarrassed to admit to being a gamer in public or at work. Got me thinking about the strange circumstances I find myself in at my own place of employment. I work in a residential group home, and as such support people who are relatively close to myself in age or slightly younger. When I started here, I basically claimed the role of alpha geek of the house. Nobody else is, or at least was, remotely tech savvy, and most of the staff were of the usual mindset that games are for kids and a complete waste of time. I, in step with my geeky shirts and general nerdity abounding, an actual proponent of games in a house where they are otherwise reviled by the rest of the authority figures. This ended up giving me a huge boost in relatability with the residents of the house, and over the years, I parlayed that into many enjoyable evenings of playing games with the guys and getting paid for it and being the designated person whenever we need to take a trip to the game store. I'd even go so far as to say that games helped me get the promotion that I got last year, as my ability to relate to the people in the house via games and other geekery helped my star shine just a little brighter when compared to the rest of the normals applying for the job. I don't have nearly as much downtime to play games on shift as a result of the promotion, though, unless I pull an overnight shift and things are quiet. But just having the ability to play games while at work is something I'm incredibly thankful for. It's also a big part of the reason I'm such a fan of handheld gaming, because it's a lot easier to lug your DS into work in the bottom of your bag than a 360 or a PS3. Keep up the great show, Spigot.
You know what I thought when we started talking about that? Like, my God, the Myth TV system I would set up in a group home.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Front ends everywhere, giant, you know, swaths of storage, lots of tuners.
Yeah. I can see you looking for pretty much any excuse to do something
like that.
I don't, man. Again, far from, like, ever being embarrassed about it, I'm kind of embarrassed for people that don't get it. Mm-hmm. People who sort of cling to this notion of, like, oh my God, your girlfriend must be miserable. Jesus, I just can't even imagine, like, having to live with somebody who does that. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, the bitch steals my Mass Effect. Like, I have to buy two copies of shit sometimes. I know, it's annoying. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, what do you think you understand about the world that makes you think that, like, I'm some kind of outcast? Like, how out of touch with, seriously, like, everything are you that you think this is still some kind of oddball underground hobby or something? You are on a making a beeline for being one of the most irrelevant old people in the history of old people once you finally get there, if you can't understand this shit right now. Just because as it changes and as it evolves and as it sort of like seeps by capillary action into every pore of our society, if you don't get it to some degree, to some significant degree, you're going to be sort of pointless. I'm not saying everybody's going to be playing, you know, not going to necessarily care to the degree of like whatever the current Fallout type of thing is or something. And I certainly don't want to indicate that it's all just going to be a bunch of goddamn Farmville. We understand that the reality is somewhere between the two, but everybody's going to feel it to some degree, particularly once it just becomes irrefutable. That has nothing to do with age or demographic. Nothing whatsoever. Nothing at all. You're going to be beyond silly for being the sort of... I mean, don't like it, that's fine. But for mocking it as a child's toy...
I'd be like the old lady that like referred to my comic books as funny books.
Yeah, something like that. Only, I think, much worse.
Yeah.
So...
What was really sad was I had my like school yearbook in my hand. This is like when I was, you know, in high school and like went to church and all this stuff. Like, brought my yearbook with me. And she's like, you shouldn't bring funny books into church. Like, all right.
Yeah. Whatever. I used to
What's
bring
a
my
funny t- book?
I used to bring my toys to church. But like,
have enough funny
bitch, don't talk to Megatron that way.
He turns into a gun.
He does turn into a gun. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, we're done.
We're done for now.
We're done with
I know we have like a whole bunch of shit left. Like we got a lot of emails and stuff, and a lot of correspondence, and we had a lot of stuff hanging over. We just can't obviously do it all in one sitting. So, I think we'd like to do it next week. We'd like to kind of get caught up before the show sort of does whatever it does again. I don't know whatever the hell you guys want to do with it. I won't be participating for a while.
Before we go, I didn't tell you this. Fun little story from last night when Becky started playing Fable 3. It imports your save from Fable 2.
It better.
So, but it does it automatically. It just uses the most recent save.
Man, well, that's dumb.
It is. It's stupid. Well, she had started a second playthrough and was doing an evil character. And so, of course, she's not thinking about any of this shit. You know, she's just starting to play. So I go and look it up for her. I was like, there wasn't an option. Like, she's like, no. And she's just like, no. I was like, but like, let me look this up. And she's just like, you know, tearing through. So I looked it up, like, okay, get your most recent save. She's like, okay. I was like, did you do another character? She's like, yeah. I was like, was that the last thing you did? Yeah. I was like, are you listening to what I'm saying? And then it finally, like, dawned on her. She's like, oh, damn it. So she, like, goes, she's like, what do I have to do? I was like, you have to pull out Fable 2, put it in, like, load up your old character, save it. And then, like, she's like, oh, and she's, like, really pissed off. She can't play her game, like, right now. So, she puts in Fable 2, boots it up, goes in, saves are like, these are corrupted. And she's like, what the fuck? And I was like, but she also ignored the update that was there when it was like, I was like, all right, why don't you like redo it, but like let it apply the update? She's like, why can't I just play my game? I was like, because you want to import your save. And like,
Jesus.
And like, so, So she's like getting more and more pissed off, but she applied the update, and then she could see her saves, loaded up her save, saved it, put it into Fable 3, and like, here's the kicker of all of it, though. Her character, after she finished, she played a girl in Fable 2, but after she finished the campaign, finished everything, she did all this extra stuff, and did this mission, and ended up turning into her guy.
Oh.
So, in Fable 3, her character keeps being referred to as her father and him, and the guy is, like, really pissing her off. She didn't know that shit would matter at all. She thought she's done with the game. Shit didn't matter anymore.
Shit always matters
anymore. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guarantee you she won't ever do that again.
Lesson learned.
Like, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
I only have two phone calls. One of Kevin, just because Kevin. And then, and then other one from somebody who's not Kevin.
So we're going to
Kevin's corner.
Yes, Kevin's corner.
So we're doing this anyway.
There's tons of calls, but we're only doing two. We did two emails, we're doing two phone calls.
Okay.
All right.
That made sense to you, didn't it?
No. I just didn't want to argue the point, because...
Good.
Yo, what up, IGC? This is Kev. Man, I am like... Oh my gosh, dude, it's just horrendous. Okay, first of all, right? My MechWarrior 5 game is in legal litigation. That's some stupid shit, obviously. Then, my fucking Fallout Online game is going through a bit of the same thing, not to the same fucking degree, but whatever. And then my goddamn MMO dies. You believe that shit? Fucking ATP.
Yeah,
I was there from beginning to end, even closed beta.
Sorry, Kev.
You'll want to cut that. You'll want
to
cut that part out.
What's happening, guys? Just give you a call. You know how I do. Hey, anybody excited about next Tuesday? Now, I know what's going on next Tuesday, right? Midnight fucking release. Y'all going to be there? Getting it? 360, PS3, PC, whatever the fuck. Just get it. Be playing that shit fucking Tuesday. If I don't see you online playing that shit, you're going to have a problem. And not just with me, all right? You understand? I got some friends with me. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that because we're on the fucking air, but I'm just saying. You better be playing that fucking shit because I got to have some people to talk to about it, goddammit. All right, talk to you guys later. As usual, have a great fucking show. And I also wanted to say, you always have a great fucking show. You guys entertain the living shit out of me. Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll talk later. Bye.
Hey, Kevin, where are your guys for you? We're playing it. Where are you at?
Oh, those are another phone calls that we'll have to get to. Here's the last phone call.
Hello, in-game chat. This is Steven, also known as Raven12.3. I heard your podcast and your discussion about Halo Reach, and you couldn't remember what was said, or you didn't want to say it. If you're talking about when I said something about the female Spartan, and I wondered if she left her robot arm during sex, that's fine. If you guys want to repeat any shit I said that was funny, that's fine. As long as you give me credit, I don't care. Thanks for all the entertainment you guys do, and you guys have fun. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, done.
Cool.
That's fun. Poor Kevin. Poor that girl with a robot arm.
Okay, so that wraps it up.
We're
going to do a show next
week? We're trying to do a show next week. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's either next week and then whatever the hell you guys want to do after that, because I'll be gone for...
We should explain our situation. You're not going to be able to be a part of the show after...
No, I have to go...
Next week.
Yeah, I got to go fly the Peter Pan again, because we're doing Peter Pan once more. And so they want to get all of the...
Your free time goes to shit, but you're...
Yeah. I mean, I go back to...
But your finances go pretty good. Right?
Really?
That's the trade-off, right? No?
No. It's fine. I don't mind. I mean, I get paid a fair wage. You know, okay. I didn't get into theater to get rich.
Yeah.
I thought you got
a nice little...
No, you're thinking of the way I did it last time.
Yeah.
Which is where I did both jobs.
Okay.
And I just worked my ass off and got a new TV out of it.
Yeah, that's...
That's not what this is. This job is so much bigger than... This show is very big.
It's going to demand his entire attention.
I'm leaving the IT department for like 2 months. I can't do both because it's a big deal. Point is, I just can't swing shows.
Yeah.
So whatever you guys want to do, whatever format you want to work on, that's cool.
Well, our idea, likely going this route, is while he's away, forever how long, we're going to bring you interviews. We're going to start cranking out the interviews again. It's been almost a year since our last interview.
Wow.
What was the last interview?
Naughty Dog.
Wow. Okay. That was a long time ago. That was when we were actually back in here.
Yeah, we were in here.
Yeah, we haven't
that.
Done an interview since we left the studio.
So.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, it's been almost a year since we've done any interviews, so.
Are we taking suggestions on people to interview, or are we just trying to line up people yourself?
We can, yeah. I mean, I've already got a few lined up that I know I want to get on. Got to get the Twisted Pixel guy on.
Got
to have them back on.
They only gave us a
nice little credit mention in the Comic Jumper. Got to have them back on. So, but yeah, if anybody's got suggestions, they can throw it out there. We'll work on getting them on the show. But that's the way we'll go for that time period. But we're going to crank out another one of these shows next week.
Try to remember how to fucking do this. It's been a minute.
Yeah, really. So there, appreciate the patience. Really, we do. We were gone for a while there, and we were trying to do shows, and just couldn't get it together. So, but we really appreciate you guys sticking with us through all this. So, thank you very much for that. And all right, that it. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.